let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning or this afternoon. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified, and Christ the Lord is glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so go all the way with me to Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. Go all the way to verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. Right, so it's very important to note that what you see as a submissive writing here is something that Luke will expatiate on in the book of Acts. If you go all the way to Acts chapter 1, you see something very important. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, quickly. Former Christ is written to you, O dear Theophilus, verse 2. No, verse 4 rather. Unto the day, verse 2, in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had what? Chosen. Now look at verse 3 carefully. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for what? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the what? The kingdom of God. Now, that's very important to note. So, we see that Jesus was teaching for 40 days back to back. So, they had an experience with Jesus, and the experience they had with Jesus was an experience that required a 40 days teaching back to back. So, they had an attention span that could listen to Jesus for 40 days back to back. So it means that as saints, we see an example that there's such a thing called giving our attention, right, to listen to God's word back to back, right? I'll say that again. We have the ability to listen to God's word back to back. We have the ability to listen to God's word for minutes into hours. We have the ability to listen to God's word with a rapt attention, right? So it's very important to see that Jesus taught for 40 days back to back. Now, one of the things you want to pay attention to in the in scriptures or from pages of the Bible will be that, you know, in the middle of in the book of Acts, for instance, there are certain kind of meetings that we could take you from. What I just mean is there's certain kinds of meetings that we could see as examples in the book of Acts, and by extension, for instance, we could see them as well rather in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the primary meeting you see that Luke starts up with in Acts chapter 1 is the meeting we call the teaching meeting. Are we together? So it means as believers, the primary meeting for the believer is what we call the teaching meeting. We call the teaching meeting. Now, one of the things I want you to note is that in this meeting, whilst I'm going to be teaching, there may be some things I will need to identify by the Spirit. Right, so make sure you get your attention well wrapped, get your spiritual signal all up to date. And listen actively, don't listen passively, right? For we trust that, you know, when God's word is being taught, God's power is made available. So we're going to experience the supernatural, the miraculous healings, and what have you, whilst even the word is being taught before we get into whatever I want to do afterwards, right? So get your heart in the place to, you know, forego everything that is bothersome to you and put your heart right in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus will teach for 40 days. Look at Acts 1:3 again. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. Now, what was he doing for 40 days? The Bible says he was speaking of the things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. Everyone, let's say that together. Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. Let's say it one more time. Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So it means the central theme of Jesus' 40 days teaching will be what? The kingdom of God. right? So the kingdom of God will be the theme of 40 days. So it means if Jesus taught the kingdom of God 40 days back to back, it means that we can as well have 40 days back to back teaching about the kingdom of God. Are we together, right? So we can have a 40-day back-to-back session or season or whatever you want to call it, and we're just enjoying ourselves in the knowledge of God's word and paying attention to the doctrine of the kingdom of God. Are we together? So it's very important to know that the primary meeting for the believer is the what? The teaching meeting. Are we together? The teaching meeting. Now, the teaching meeting, let's look at the progression in the book of Acts. If you go all the way to verse 14 in the book of Acts, you see something carefully there. Look at something in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Together, you know, you would have gotten through the situation of chapter 1, verse 2, 3, 4, verse 5, where they were asking Jesus about the question about when will he restore him by the kingdom, and he says, it's not for you, but you shall receive power that the Holy Ghost will upon you, you know, and you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem. And when he spoke these things, by the way, they beheld him taken into the cloud, and why they looked at him. So he asked them to wait and tarry, right, onto what we call the day of Pentecost, right? So look at what happened in verse 14. These all continued. Who are the these? Verse 13, right? Look at verse 12, right? Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. Now continue again, verse 14. All these names mentioned, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman, right? And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So it wasn't just those people that I mentioned in verse 13. We have some other brethren, we have some other men, and some other women. Now look at verse 15 carefully. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples and said, the number of names together were about what? 120. So how many people were there praying from verse 14? 120. Right? So what do you think would have birthed in them that attitude of prayer? It will be the instruction Jesus gave from the teaching meeting. Right? He would have given them an instruction and said, tarry in Jerusalem. Right? And you will be endued with power from on high. So it means the teaching meeting led into what? The prayer. Are we here? The teaching meeting led into what? The prayer meeting. Right, so if you are well taught from a teaching meeting, you should have a well-rounded prayer meeting or a well prayer-rounded session. Right, so it means that you will pray aright because you are taught aright. Are we together? You will pray aright because you are taught aright. Now let me ask you a question. They continue in prayer. One question you want to ask yourself as a believer is: do you think their prayer meeting was needs-driven? Do you think their prayer meeting was needs-driven? It wouldn't be needs-driven, right? No. It wouldn't be needs-driven, right? No. Yeah? So for it to be needs-driven, to mean that they either will stay away from the emphasis of Jesus, are we together, or Jesus taught on needs-driven prayer or needs-driven orientation, or gave a need-driven orientation to them. Right? But what did Jesus teach about? Kingdom of what? God. Right? So it means that if they tarried in prayer, right, it means their prayer will revolve around what? The kingdom of God. So the second major meeting you see in the book of Acts will be the what? The prayer meeting. Now, the first one is what? Teaching meeting. Second one is what? Prayer meeting. Now, the teaching meeting, that is where we come together as saints to know who we are or what God has done for us in Christ. Right? So the saint knows better. Are we together? The saint knows better. Right? In a teaching meeting, the saint knows better. In a teaching meeting, not everybody is teaching. You get that, right? In a teaching meeting, not everybody is teaching. But every saint present is receptive or is a recipient of the teaching of the man that is teaching. Are we together? So what are we having right now? We're having a teaching meeting. So if it's a teaching meeting, it means that people who are listening to a teacher are who? By default, students. Right? So it means that by default, you are listening to a teacher because you are a student, because you are a learner. Right? So when we come for a prayer meeting, who is praying in a prayer meeting? every sins, including the teacher. Did you get that? Yeah. In a teaching meeting, who is teaching? The teacher. The teacher excluding the saints. The saints are listening. In a prayer meeting, who is praying? Everybody present is praying, including the teacher. Right? So you know how to pray from what you've been taught by the teacher or from the teaching meeting. Now, who are we praying to? We are praying to God. Right? In the prayer meeting. Now, let's look at what happens. Look at verse 3. Acts 1:3. Did I say verse 3? Rather, chapter 2, rather, verse 1. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2, 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Right? They were all in one accord. Excuse me. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of what? Fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the what? They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So what can you call this meeting? Look at it again. Now, don't forget, there was teaching meeting. There was an instruction to tarry. And during the tarrying, they were praying. So if they are going to take note of another meeting, it is not a continual prayer meeting. It means something changed. Did you get that? They were well taught 40 days. After being taught, they were told to tarry. While they were tarrying, we see their tarrying was by praying. Right? Now, in Acts chapter 2, and it says, the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one accord in one place. Okay, well, they would have met together, or they would have been together in one place, already doing something. What are they doing? Praying, that is tarrying. Yeah, but something changed. Watch it. Look at it again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right? So they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the what? Holy Ghost. So what would that meeting be?
Expression.
This is a discretion meeting?
Expression
meeting. Well, you can call it an expression meeting. Because, you know, prayer is not just supposed to be a one-way conversation. Yeah? Prayer fundamentally should be a one-way, then a response. Yeah? It's a communication. So it means that if you pray to God, God should be able to want to say something. Are we together? So, okay, let's call it expression meeting. Are we together? So you can call it the Holy Ghost meeting. Yeah, so when you call it the Holy Ghost meeting, you can call it the expression meeting. You can call it, so in an expression meeting, who's to express?
The saints.
The saints. Is that the saints excluding the pastor? Is that the pastor excluding the saints? Right? So it's going to be the pastor, the saints, every believer present. Would have, would give what? Expression to what? The Holy Ghost. So what do you call that? The Holy Ghost meeting. Or you call it the what? The believers meeting. Are we together? So it means that you will find utterances from their lips that will be God speaking to man. Right? And in God speaking to man, you will find where it is from by paying attention to what they paid attention to during the teaching meeting. Right? So if you get it right in the teaching meeting, you will get it right in the prayer meeting. And you get it right in the what? Expression meeting or believers meeting. Look at it again. So it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were there that were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under the heavens. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own what? Language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? So I'm going to pay attention to that towards the end. So it means that every saint present is active. Are we together? Right? So God will want, don't forget, I always tell you this, that man is God's best method on the earth. right? Man is God's best method on the earth. So if man is God's best method on the earth, it means that if God would want to do something on the earth, he would look first for a man, or he would look for a man, or will see a man. So it means that there are men you will see, and you will see that when you see what they are doing, you say that is God doing something in the earth. Hallelujah. Right? So does God want to do something on the earth here? Yes. Yes. Is God doing something on the earth? Yes. Yes. What's the difference between, you see, the gap between what God wants to do and what God will be doing, or what God is doing, will be an active man in the middle. Right? So a man will receive instructions from God to hear what God wants to do, and a man will what? Act it out, or play it out. Or what you call, you see an expression. Are we together? Right? Now that leads into another kind of meeting. Right? And you know all of these things. If the teaching meeting is with emphasis on the kingdom of God, what would prayer meeting be with emphasis on?
Kingdom
of God. What would expression meeting be emphasis on?
Kingdom of God.
Are we together? Now look at the same chapter 2. Look at verse 13. We're going to explain what happened between verse 6 and 11. You know, when people were amazed and hearing different languages, and you know, some people think that tongues is a language of a country you don't know. Right, from his, you know, is a language that is just far off, and all of those things. And because of the way Luke has written that, if we look at verse 11. Now it says, "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Are we together? Right. So if they could hear them speak the wonderful works of God, it means there was what? Interpretation. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
They began to speak in tongues. Right? Doesn't mean they ended in tongues. Right? They began to speak in tongues, but we can hear people say that we could hear them speak about the wonderful works of God. It means that while in the midst of the tongues, there will be what? Interpretation. Did you get that? I'm going to come back to that later on. Now it says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean?" Verse 13, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Now look at verse 14. But Peter, so that's Peter, having experienced 40 days teaching, an average of maybe 7 to 9 days prayer, believers meeting day, right? You now see Peter standing up with boldness. He lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea." Altogether. So what did Peter begin to do? Peter began to teach and began to evangelize. So who were the people Peter was talking to? The crowd. What is another name to call the crowd? Unbelievers, right? Or the audience. Yeah, the audience would be the unbelievers. Are we together? Right? So when it says, "Ye men of Judea," don't forget what was happening the day of Pentecost. So what was happening was that they came to celebrate a ceremony, or they came for a festival. Are we together? So Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as they suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." What did Peter begin to do? "For this is that which was spoken by" who? The prophet. So Peter takes them to the scripture that starts to do evangelism. Alright? So what's the first meeting? Teaching meeting. Kingdom of God oriented, yeah?
Yeah.
What's the next meeting? Prayer meeting. Kingdom of God oriented, yeah?
Yeah.
What's the next meeting? Believers meeting. Kingdom of God oriented, yeah?
Yeah.
What's the next meeting? Evangelism. Or what you call evangelical meeting. Right? So, who is the recipient of an evangelical meeting? The unbeliever. Right? Who is to participate in evangelical meetings? The believer. The pastor?
Everyone.
Right? So, Peter will be an example of what every other believer there should be doing. Kingdom of God, mind. Kingdom of God oriented. All together. Right? Now, there's another kind of meeting as well that can burst forth from any of the meetings. And we see that in Jesus' teaching ministry. We see what you call the healing meetings. Yeah? There are particular meetings where you can call healing meetings and you bring everyone that is sick for healing. Are we together? Right? You can experience the healing meeting whilst teaching. You can experience the healing meeting whilst praying. You can experience the healing meeting in believers' meeting. You can experience the healing meeting, right, in evangelism. Are we together? So the question that becomes for the saints, what helps the believer? You know, and the combination of all of these meetings right, is what helps the believer to be well-rounded. Yeah? It helps the believer to be well-rounded. One of the things you don't see there is... Release the voice. One of the things you don't see there is which meeting? Who wants you to say it? Okay, someone says so, yeah. No, 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 this is a little more. You see, one of the things you don't see there is what? Praise meeting. Amen. Yeah? There's nothing wrong in doing 97 hours of praise. Yeah? But have an equal 97 hours of prayer. Are we together? For it is not by, it is not when you praise God, men are saved. Are we together? Right? You know that in the real sense, you see, you don't have, well, let's not get into troublesome. Let's leave that for our series we are doing on Sunday and Wednesday. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. So, we see that these are fundamental in scripture. Now, do you think they praised God? Oh, yes, they did. Yeah, they did. They praised God. Hallelujah. Yeah, they spoke well about the wonderful work he has done. We see that written across scriptures. See that written across scriptures. Hallelujah. Let me show you something in Acts 3, which is where we're supposed to climax today. But look at Acts 3 quickly. So we have left from Acts 1, we've gone into Acts 2. Look at Acts 3 carefully. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the what? The hour of prayer. Yeah? They went into the temple at the what? The hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was what? Carried. Whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Now, they saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and they asked for what? Alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Right? Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Right? In the name of Jesus Christ of what? Nazareth. Rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received what? Strength. Is that healing? Is that healing? Right? So Peter is an example of a believer who was well taught. Got into prayer meeting, went into believers meeting, went into evangelism, went into healing. Are we together? You know, as a saint, you can have that kind of life. Right? You can have that kind of life. Now, let's start our teaching from John 16 today. John 16. Are you in John 16? Look at verse 12. Are you in verse 12? Look at it. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he what? Speak. And he will show you things to come. Look at verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now look at verse 16 carefully. A little while ye shall not see me. And again, a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Are you here? Look at that again. Verse 16. A little while ye shall not see me. And again, a little while ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Does that beat logic? Look at that again. A little while, ye shall not see me. And a little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Does that beat logic? So if we're to read that in, is it layman? Is it layman or layman?
Layman.
Okay, layman. All right. So you say layman, right? So if we're to look at it in a layman's, from a layman's perspective, right? What will it be? You know, I can't say you will see me because I'm going. You get that? Right? I can't say you will see me, but the way you see me is because I'm going. When somebody is going, it's so that you will not see the person. You leave this door and say that going out. As far as not saying when you go out, it's when you go out that I will see you clearly. Yeah, that is logic. Yeah, but that's Jesus talking. So it means that we need to pay attention to Jesus' use of words and also what is Jesus really teaching about. Are we here? So, a little while, ye shall not see me, and again a little while, ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So let's try explore that a little. Let's go back to verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, right? Now, the word there, truth, is the word aletheia in the Greek. Right? The word there, truth, is the word aletheia. A-L-E-T-H-I-A, if I'm not mistaken. Aletheia. Right? And it's the word that just really means the reality. Are we together? The word there, truth, just really means reality. So, how do you read verse 14? Or what verse we read? Verse 13? How be it when he is the Spirit of truth, reality. So, the word there, truth, is not opposite of lie. Are we here? The word there, truth, is not what? Opposite of lie. How do you know that? Right? You know that scripture that says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, that is not always true. You want to look at it from a layman's perspective. Are we together? Right? You know, I know when we're growing up, those are kind of things people, you know, say to you if you were someone who used to lie. Right? And they'll say, you see, I will not beat you. Yeah? I won't deal with you. Just say the truth. No, the Bible says, if you say the truth shall what? Set you free. You know more often than not. You know that if you say the truth, just like somebody takes you to your police station and they say, come and defend yourself. And they say the truth, I will set you free. You should know that as a figure of speech. Are we together? Right? So you just, like somebody say, I saw you steal that car. And they brought you to the station. I really did steal it, right? And you go to the station, say the truth. You know, the Bible says, are you a Christian? Put your hand on the Bible. You say, I swear to the Almighty God, I will say the truth. I'm nothing but the truth. You know that, you see, that thing you said as your oath, before you said the truth, will be the last thing you see outside the cell. For every other statement that will be made, will be made from behind the bars. And what did Paul and Silas do? They prayed and sang. That's what you'll be doing in the cell. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right, so he says, I shall know the truth, albeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. So what will guide you into all truth? The Spirit of truth. Right? What he's not teaching here that he wants to know people are lying. Right? The Spirit of God will be guiding you. Is that what she's saying is lying? But this is what he's saying is true. No. Can you know when somebody is lying? Yes, now. There's something called discernment. You know, you can look at somebody that is lying at you and lying straight in your eye and you just know. But you will not act it. Are we together? Right? That perhaps not what Jesus is teaching here. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is called? What is truth again? Reality. So when the Spirit of reality is called, or the Spirit that is, to say the reality, yes, is called, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Spirit of truth is going to show them things to come. Right? Now the question now becomes, what will be the things to come? Go all the way to verse, go to chapter 14. Look at John 8 quickly. John 8, 32. Let me just speak into where I went through, where I quoted that scripture from. Look at verse 31. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. What is the word truth?
Yeah.
Reality. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the reality of God's love is what sets man free.
Yeah.
All together. Right? So the reality of God's kindness, God's love, right, is that which man knows and man becomes free. Hallelujah. Now go away to John 14:6. John 14:6. It says, Jesus said unto him, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. Right? So how do you read that? The way. That is to say the reality, which is to say life. Are we here? So Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the way by which we get to the Father. Right? Jesus is the reality, the life that we receive, and we say we've come to the Father. Very important to note. So that is something that Jesus is saying in John 14:6. Let's go all the way to chapter 16 again. He now says, howbeit, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Let's see what he says about the Spirit of truth again in John 14. Go back to verse 14. John 14, 16. John 14, 16. What is the work of the Spirit? The work of the Spirit of truth is to guide you into all truth. And he shall show you things to come. And look at chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Right? I'll give you another comforter that will abide with you forever. Now, the promise of the comforter that is to be given to man, was that a new promise in John, or it has been the promise from time?
From time.
Promise from time. Right? So has God promised a comforter from time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at Genesis 2, verse 18. In verse 18. Okay. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him what? A helpmeet for him. Now we've told over time that the use of the word helpmeet there is a word that means a providing helper. Right? One who is a succor, one who provides help. Right? That helper that God promised to mankind in Genesis 2 is the comforter that Jesus speaks about in John 14. Are we together? So the helpmate that God promised man, right, is the helpmate which is the Spirit of God, right? Moses is not teaching that the helpmate for man is a woman. Are we together? Moses is not teaching that the helpmate God promised man is a woman, right? A lot of times, we assume that that is what Moses is teaching, when the real says, what he's teaching particularly, is that God will provide help to man. Right? So when you now see Hebrews 13, it says, I will not leave you helpless. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what ye have, for ye have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hebrews 13. So the Lord is going to be our helper, and the Lord is going to be our comforter, that Jesus spoke about in Genesis, in John 14. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Right? So what did Jesus speak about in John 14? Another comforter. What did Moses speak about in Genesis 2?
Helper.
Can we say Moses spoke about another comforter?
Yes.
Yeah, you follow, right? Because the another comforter Moses spoke about in Genesis 2 is the another comforter Jesus speaks about in what? Genesis, John 14. And also the same Spirit of truth that Jesus speaks about in John 16. So it means that the Spirit of truth that will guide you into all truth will be around the comforter Moses spoke about from Genesis. And also the comforter Jesus spoke about in John 14. So go back all the way to John 14 quickly. Right? Look at John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, a lot of times we think that the another comforter that Jesus is speaking about is going to be something another. Now, and it's easy to assume that way because the word another is in your Bible. Are we together? Right? So he says, I will give you another. Now, this is where the use of Greek words and Hebrew words now come in. Right? The word another is the word allos in the Greek. A-double-L-O-S. So there are two words like that that can be used for either other, another, or same. Yeah? Right? And it's the word allos. A-double-L-O-S. And it's a word actually that speaks about that which is the same. All together. That which is the same. Now, go back to verse 18. John 14:18. And in John 14:18. I will not leave you what? Comfortless. I will come to you. But I thought the promise in verse 16 is another comforter. Look at it though. If you were to read John 14 in normal layman's English, when Jesus said in verse 16, and he shall give you another comforter. Who is talking in verse 18? So what do you think Jesus should do to say in verse 18? He should probably say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter. Or the Father will send another comforter. All together. And he shall abide with you forever. So it means that the another comforter in verse 16 is going to be himself in verse 18. So who is the real another comforter that is coming? Jesus himself. Are we together? So Jesus, by his spirit, now begins to live in you and he becomes your comforter. Now he becomes your helpmate. Or helpmate. Are we together from Genesis 2? Now look at verse John 14 again, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give unto you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now look at verse 17, even the Spirit of Truth. So you see the context of even the Spirit of Truth all the way from verse 17. And you see it now reflect again in John 16, verse 13. Right? So John 14, he says, and I will pray the Father, and I will... Now, mind you, he's not saying I will pray to the Father. You know, I've talked to you over time, when you see a word being used in the Bible, don't always assume it has a universal meaning, right? So the word pray in the Bible doesn't always mean praying or pray like you call prayer point. Are we together, right? So in the real sense, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So is this a promise of Jesus? Yeah, is this a promise of Jesus? Who did Jesus say will give this comforter? The Father. So when the Father gives this comforter, how long is the comforter abiding with the man that is given?
Forever.
Are we together? So have you received of the comforter? Yeah? Have you received the comforter? So the another comforter that Jesus promised the Father will give, you received. How long is the comforter going to be with you?
Forever.
So who is the comforter? Genesis 2. Help. Meet. Right? So the helpmate is the comforter you've received that is with you forever. Say, I have the comforter and it dwells in me forever. Hallelujah. Right? So he says in verse 17, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be where? In you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. Right? Ye shall also live. Hold on. Watch that again. He says, because I live, ye shall live. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. In John 16, what is the reason why you will see him? Because he is going. So what is his going? He's coming. Right? So his going is his coming. Right? So when he says, because I go, another way he says is, because I leave, you shall leave. Did you get that again? So look at it again. It says, he had a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I leave, ye shall leave also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and what? I in you. Glory to God. So what is the operation of the Spirit primarily for the saints? The operation of the Spirit for the saint is to bring us to revelation of the glorification of Jesus. I'll say that again. The operation of the Spirit is to bring us to the revelation of the glorification of Jesus. Yeah? How did I get to that conclusion? Look at chapter 16 again, verse 14. John 16. I'll say it again. The operation of the Spirit is to bring us to the revelation of the glorification of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory forevermore. Yeah? So, if we go all the way to John chapter 16, look at it, verse 14 again. It says, he shall glorify me. So, who is the he that shall glorify me? You're not here. Who is the he that shall glorify me? John 16, verse 14. Right, the Spirit. How do you know? Look at verse 13. How be it when he? Right? John 16, 14. How be it when he? And it says the he there is the Spirit of truth. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? He will guide you into all truth. Now we establish that. A lot of times we merge scriptures together and just say whatever we think like or feel like saying. Together. So you see somebody who say, oh, the Spirit of truth leads me into all truth. I know, and you now make sure in Philippians 4, what? 13. For I can do all things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Right? Can you? Say, I can. Making your confession. You see, no matter how much you make I can do all things, your confession, right? You really can't do all things. Are we together? Right? I hope that's clear. So imagine, and I always give you an example. Imagine you're supposed to fly, right? And you bought your ticket and you got on the plane. Right? And as soon as you got on the plane, a man, you know, pilots, they have a uniform. Right? I just see one man like this with three briefcases, and he's coming and says, your pilot for the day. So, wow, this man must have like something 1,000 miles in his arcade or in his whatever, and he's on his CV. The guys on the plane, you know, they always have a mic and they speak into their mic. Dear ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're having a beautiful sunny, sunny afternoon. Right? I hope you're having. Please, can you just take him out quickly, please? Yeah, that's distracting a lot, please. Right, so I say, I hope you're having a sunny Wednesday afternoon. Right? And, you know, I've never been to an aviation school. I don't know, this is my first time even in the craft. Yeah? But my pastor told me that I can do all things. For the Spirit of truth will lead us into all truth. Hallelujah. Right? So what I can tell you is that I trust the words of my man of God. And once he says it, because it's God saying it to me. So relax yourself, wear your seatbelt, tighten your seatbelt as we take off. What will you do? Sorry, I'm not going again. They moved my meeting. Right? You have to find your way to drop down. It's clear. Right? But why do you think that cannot be his reality, but it can be your reality? You know, sometimes it's easy to just assume that my own conviction is the real one. I don't trust what he's doing. So my one is the main one. So the Bible says the Spirit of truth shall lead me into all truth. Right? And you see, if people say very ridiculous things. You know the scripture in the Bible, I'm going to touch that today, later today, in 1 John that says, another scripture says, you need no man. It says, look at John. Look, go to 1 John. 1 John, please. First John 2, verse 27. You see, you can mix the Bible and get yourself in trouble. You have a profession called DJ. Yeah, you know who a DJ is? A DJ is one who mixes several beats and portions together and lets it flow. A lot of us as Christians are DJs, right? Biblical DJs. Look at First John 2. Look at verse 27. The anointing which you've received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man should teach you. Eh? But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it are taught you, ye shall abide in him. You know, if you mix this with Philippians 3, as well as John 16, it makes you look as if the Holy Spirit can teach you all things. Do you know anybody who has drilling? Let me ask this question differently, because our driving is where I come from. It's different from how it is here. You know, where I come from, I just feel like driving. You can enter into a car and drive. Car not insured, you not insured. You know, if you have a driving school, you move the car. You know, a lot of us really started driving that way. How we together. A lot of us started driving that way. Right? A lot of us started learning how to drive by observation. Right? You just notice that after, like, when you get to this part of the road, you do like this area, okay? And when you know, you enter a car. And when that's how you start driving, before you know it, you know somebody that has licensed machine at home. And they cash you to come and take your passport in their living room. And they snap you and give you that. Is that how you got your own? Because the way your face is doing like this, they still have exposing you. Right? And they just give you personal passports in their room. And you have to have a license. Are we together? Right? But when you come to another environment where things are taking in order, you know, by the time you pay like 7 times, 8 times, 9 times, you know, to pass on 20, 30 ministers, you really know that the anointing which is in you. You know that the anointing which is in you. You see, no matter how much you confess it, are we together? Right? So I can do all things is not a confession of faith. That's not what Paul was teaching. Right? He wasn't saying, wake up every day and say, I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. I thought that passage on Wednesday. Right? So we need to pay attention. How are Bible words used? So look at John. John is telling you that you don't need any man to teach you. But a man taught him. I go together. Imagine my doctrine is I don't need any man. You know that when you hear people say those kind of things, it's a man they hear it from. That's why I keep telling you. You see, God's will is not that how you understand the Bible is like this. How many of you have to decide? And it came to pass in the 11th year. Okay. The first day of the month. Okay. What the Lord came to me saying, that's why I love us through the Bible. Right? God, speak to me this morning. Draw your sword. Open it, First King. He said, no. You know, there's a way you can actually put your hand close. You know where there's a way you will put your hand that you know where we open is Ephesians. You understand? And you see people saying, that's how the Holy Spirit taught me, because Bible teaching was I don't need any teacher. So when you see a believer who is saying, I read the Bible for myself, I don't attend a local church, that's one of the clear signs, you know, that something is touching somewhere. Yeah? Something is touching somewhere. You know, something can be touching and you are not aware. Yeah? When you say a believer, let me say it again, when you say a believer who is saying, I don't need the local churches have nonsense. They are just collecting people's money and stealing from us. How do you worship God? I've served God in my room. I read my Bible myself. See, if you read your Bible well enough, you know that the Christian faith is not built in isolation. That's why one lady was shouting the rally that she's the church of God. Only you are the body of Christ. Only you. Right? I have fellowship alone with the Spirit in my living room, and I don't really any man. All these men, they just everybody's looking for what? No. What is one of the best ways to know somebody that is talking? Just hear that. Once you just hear starting in that doctrine, and if there are anyone who thinks that there's a reason why you don't attend a local church, you don't fellowship with the saints, you know what that is called? That's one of the highest levels of pride. God's will is that men come together. God's will is that you learn from a man. Together. God's will is not that you stay in your house and he teaches. And that's why today, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me lots of questions. And one of the questions that I've been putting out over the years is that, why do so many churches teach different things? That's a very, very, very popular question. Why do so many churches teach different things? And is that not true? No, it's true. You know, three men can listen to a man, and the emphasis of those three men, or what the three men will teach, is far from what that one man thought. Is it possible?
Mm-hmm.
You know the problem? You see that desire to sound unique. That's where the problem starts from. See that desire to sound unique. I feel like I'm unique. I feel like I'm unique. I want to be unique. So what I used to be there a couple years ago, right? So what I used to do was I used to listen to so many people, then find the average. You know what I listen to myself? You're laughing. When I listen to myself those years, I hear how stupid I was sounding. And people said they were blessed. Oh my God, people were blessed. At least you will pick something. But I sounded so stupid. Right? All in the name of, I wanted to be the, what's the word? Niche?
Niche.
I wanted to be the niche for myself. Yeah, I wanted to be the one that sounds the way I sound. Right? So for instance, I say Jesus is Lord and is God over all. How do I say my own? Over all is Jesus. Over all is Jesus. And God is. Right? And you know, because you are trying to refine, you know how, by default, even if you don't try to refine, it's difficult to hear and say exactly. I've always told this example. You know, if I put 10 of you here today, for instance, and I say the first person should create a sentence, from the third or second person, what you will hear at the end, not because any of them intended to sound different, by default, what you hear at the end will change. Now, talk more of if number two wanted to change. Imagine number two wanted to change. Imagine what you hear at the end. The person at the end might just say, run for your life. Because somebody was just talking about somebody. So that's the way it is. Now, so when you begin to have that approach, the anointing of God is in me. I need no man to teach me, for the spirit of truth shall lead me into all truth. The best interpreters of the Bible is for a man who listens to the word from another man that has listened to another man who listens to another man. Why do you think I will say the same things I say over and over and over again? Because I know there's every tendency that the moment you leave this door, you forget what was taught. Amen? So go back to John. Let's go back to John where we were. There's a popular video online that was trending a couple of weeks ago there about the man that was saying that he can decide to say he will not eat again. Have you seen that video? Said, there's a realm in this world. He said, I'm like this. I can choose not to eat again forever. Realm. Please don't get in that realm. Don't get there. Because people that get there don't come back. Okay, he said, because you can subject. And that's what happens when you're a person who is looking for more than what the Bible is teaching. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
More than what the Bible is teaching. You know, you call it empty philosophies. You know, the trending teachings today right now are the ones of free flow. You know free flow? Where you read one verse and talk for 2 hours and go for another verse. I call it free flow teaching. Free flow. You know the funny thing? They stand for the reading of the word. Shall we stand for the reading of the word? And you start from the end of the word, and you read 2 verses, and pick it up from there. And after 2 hours, you've not even gone back to the verse. Talk about another one. If that is the way Jesus trained Peter, where would the sound doctrine be today? Bible tells you, John, we started from there today, Acts 1. Bible says that. You know, there was the attention to details they gave. There was a mindset they had. You know, so he says, when the spirit of truth, go back to John 16 now. Let's go back to John 16, John 16 verse 14. He shall glorify me. So it means that the operation of the spirit will bring to us the revelation of Christ Jesus. Are we together? Yeah? Hallelujah. So, look at verse 14 again. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So is there something the Spirit of truth is showing?
Yes.
Yeah, what will it be?
Revelation of the glorification.
What is revelation? The showing. Right? To reveal. Revelation just really means to reveal. Right? So there's the revelation of the glorification. Look at verse 16 again. A little while. Right? Ye shall not see me. And again, a little while ye shall see me because I go to the Father. Right? Because I go to the Father, you will see me. So, like I said earlier on, ideally it should be because I'm going, you will not see me again. Mm-hmm. What he's saying now is because I'm going, you will see me again. That's very important to note. So, did Jesus leave the earth and said goodbye? He didn't really go. Right? Because his going is his what? His coming. So, when you see that Jesus ascended into the heavens, what is that? His going. What really is happening? His coming. Yeah? So, his spirit, which is the spirit of truth, now comes in us and we now what? Live in that reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah? So, verse 13 says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So Jesus will teach for 40 days, and he will ask them to wait for 10 days, and you see what he called the day of Pentecost. Now, before that, let's see what really happened in Matthew 16. Look at Matthew 16. Are you in Matthew 16? Hallelujah. So look at Matthew 16. Look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Right? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Right? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the what? The living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will what? Build my church. Now, there's a school of thought in that, from that scripture, and the school of thought says that the meaning of Peter means what? Rock. Right? Or stone, rock, stone, Petra, or whatever you want to call it, right? And people say that, oh, Jesus built his church on Peter. Do you think that would be possible? Do you think that would be possible? Yeah? Peter. You know? Right? See, if Jesus built his church on the man Peter, it means the church or the foundation of the Christian faith is faulty. See, is Peter an amazing man? Yes, so. Peter is an amazing man. Yeah? Peter was the first to preach after the resurrection and the teaching. And he won how many souls? 3,000 souls. Acts 2. 3,000 souls. 3,000 men were added and saved. Yeah, but the fact that that happened doesn't mean that this is Matthew 16. This is before the crucifixion. Right? It says, your name is Peter. So because Peter got the answer, he said, you. He's on top of you. I'll build your whole church and the gate of hell will not prevail. But yeah, later. See, that's not what really was happening. Mm-hmm. Thou art Peter, and upon it shall I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. Now look at the outcome of that. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Right? Mm-hmm. Of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, one of the popular things we use for this scripture, one of the popular things we use for this scripture particularly is for casting out of demons. Is that not true? Mm-hmm. Right? Somebody is demon possessed. Say, for the Bible says, whatever bound on earth, I mean, how did they say it again? Is bound in heaven. You dare down for our spirits. You see, you can cast out demons with wrong knowledge and demons will respond. Mm-hmm. Because demons don't respond to knowledge. Demons respond to identity in Christ Jesus. That was good. So when you keep asking yourself a question, why is it that people who don't know as much doctrine as you think, they do the supernatural? That's why when you see the supernatural happening with men, don't be looking at the doctrine they don't have. Eh? Look at what they know something. When you see a man stand and you see 5,000 people in front of him are healed instantly. I say he doesn't know anything because he doesn't know heaven and earth is not physical. The joke is on you. Yeah, and this the who gives the good word for heaven and earth, heretics. So why do we pay attention to what we do? Why do we teach or why do we behave the way we behave as a church, God's palace? Because we know that there's going to be a better expression to these things when you have the right knowledge and right understanding of your identification. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You see, when it comes to healing, God is always eager to heal. So a man that knows God is always eager to heal and knows the power of God dwells in him, he can use any scripture to heal anybody. I said, by his stripes we are healed to heal strange sicknesses before. Not one, not two, not five, not six, plenty. Eh? At the time, my knowledge of by his stripes we are healed was physical healing. Did they receive healing or not? So imagine the person I was praying for saying, I can't receive prayer from you. I'd rather go to the hospital. Do you understand? They got healed. So your knowledge in the real sense is not what allow God heal. Your knowledge only aids it. So if someone's saying, whatever is bound in earth shall be bound in heaven. Listen to Riato. You see a demon-possessed person. You see where the floor is. You see a demon-possessed person. Who is Bukumi here? Who has anything to do with Bukumi? Bukumi. Who is that person? I know your name, Bukumi. You are? Okay, you know someone called Bukumi. Okay, so I'm saying the name Chris. Who has anything to do with Chris here? Chris. Okay. So I'm giving you a starting point. So I want to say something very interesting now. There's a song that it's not a song. There's something that came to my mind. You know that I see the letter K and P. Don't think of Sister Stephanie. KPK. Yeah? I see the name K and P. Something KP, EKP.
Ekoma.
Do you have anything to do with that?
My husband is from Ekoma.
Okay. EKP, right?
Yes.
I can see. Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. Alright, let's continue. I'm going to continue with you. Amen? What's your name?
Ada.
Okay, welcome to God's Palace. Yeah, so somebody's going to continue that. When I started with Bukumi. There. And somebody else might continue that as well. But let's continue in the word, okay? So, look at verse 19 again. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Right? And whatsoever thou shalt bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, if you've listened to me for a long time or for a period of time now, you would have said, you see what I just did right now? All of you are going to do it today. Amen. Above Jesus. Above Jesus, above Jesus. Yeah, that's why we are here. Above Jesus. You see, yeah? So, you see, there's the doctrine of the gifts of the Spirit, right? And there is the expression of the gifts of the Spirit. Are we together? So I'm seeing a change in career. Does he have anything to do with a bank? He does. Okay. But I can see him trying to leave the banking world and switch careers. Is it one? Okay, that's fine. Right? So, he says, that's so strong. But there's something I'm going to say, but I won't say it. Somebody else will say it in this meeting. Yeah, so welcome to God's Palace first. This is a special meeting. Right, and what we plan to do in this meeting is to give expression to the power of God here. Mm-hmm. Right? So you will give expression to the power. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Yeah. So you give expression to the power of God as well, but you will see an example to follow. Right? But there's going to be an instruction that someone will give to you on that path. On that path. Wow. On that path. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, okay. So he says, I'm not moving past verse 19. That's interesting. Can you hold the hands of someone around you and just talk in tongues for a few seconds? Just look for someone around you and talk in tongues. Just look for someone around you and talk in tongues. God's power is mightily available here. And God's power is mightily available to meet needs. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So, blessing, tapping, and dashing, and in the world, and in the Let me teach. God's power is here. Say God's power is here.
God's
power is here. Say I see, I know in the spirit.
I see, I know in the spirit.
Say I see, I know in the spirit.
I see, I know in the spirit.
Say I give expression
to
the power of God,
in me.
Yeah. So we're going to have a believers meeting towards the end of this meeting, and somebody will help complete that what I studied about you and you as well, right? But I'm just giving you an example to flow with. What do you have to do? I'm seeing you hold needles and throwing away. What do you have to do with that? Okay. Yeah. And whilst that is that what you're still doing now? It's gonna be clarity for you there. And your husband, so I wasn't gonna say his where it came from is EKP, but I can see him schooling there. And I'm seeing three men. Right? I'm seeing three men. How many brothers does he have? Alright, so I'm seeing three. Is he the oldest? Is he the youngest? Right. Okay, interesting. Alright, I've given whoever is going to complete that so much information already. Right? And for Bukumi, the instruction to that instruction by extension comes from you to your husband, by extension to three. I see three different men. Around him, and I could see something. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. There is a lot I'm not going to do through your family. There's a lot. Do you know how someone says you can't run away from shadow? Let me say something. Yeah, you can't run away from shadow. And you can't run away from your shadow. You can't. Hallelujah. Where was I, please? Matthew 16, right? Yeah. So every single person here is going to be that accurate today. Say amen.
Amen.
Say, I will see in the spirit.
I will see in the spirit.
Say, I will not be shy.
I will not be shy.
Say, I will see it.
I will see it.
Say, it will come out easily.
It will come out easily.
Say, I'm not timid.
I'm not timid.
See, there's no fear here.
There's no fear here.
For God dwells here.
God dwells here.
So Peter will say, right? I am blessed that thou, Simon, by Jonah, flesh and blood, have not revealed this unto you, my Father which is in heaven. Right? And I say, now, the question I want to ask you again is, where do you think they were trying to see their answers from? Look at verse 14. Some said thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. What will be the foundation for what they are saving from? Scripture, Genesis to Malachi. Right? So, what now happens? Peter now says, thou art Christ, that's the anointed, right? The Son of the living God. And Jesus will say unto him, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not what?
Prevail
against it. Right? So let me ask you a question. I'll build my church. Is that a finished work or an ongoing work? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Is it finished, completed, or ongoing? The boat is head over. Right? So the answer is actually both, because via the resurrection, he has done something to establish the church. But because we are still doing evangelism, the church is still building. So it's continuous as well. So it's an ongoing build. So is God building his church today?
Yeah.
How is he building it? You are God's bricklayer and his vineyard. Yeah? So that is why you give yourself to proper teaching, so you know how to mold the block well and assemble. Hallelujah. Yeah. So Peter will say, thou art Peter, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed thou, Son of Jonah, for flesh and blood, not revealed unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock, right? I will build my church and the gate of heaven. Now, what is Peter's surname? Eh? What is Peter's surname? He's not far-fetched. Look at it. Jesus' surname is Christ. What is Peter's surname? Bar-Jonah. You know what Bar-Jonah means? Son of Jonah. Yeah? Bar-Jonah just really means son of Jonah. So, Simon, son of Jonah. So, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee. What do you think flesh and blood will mean in that scripture? Man, okay. Sense, knowledge.
Logic.
The natural, okay, yeah? Yeah, so flesh and blood have not revealed this, but my Father which is in heaven. So, in the real sense, what will be the foundation of my Father which is in heaven? Scriptures, the prophets, the right. So, it means that Peter believed the prophets. For you see, the teaching about the anointed has always been on the pages of the scriptures. Are we together? The teaching about the anointed has always been on the pages of the scriptures. So scriptures will reveal to Peter, and Peter will say, well, look at John 1:36. There's someone listening to me right now, and I can see strongly something working. I can see a surgery happening on you by God's spirit and God's power. Mm-hmm. And there's something that man has said is dead, but is coming back to life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Man has said it is dead, but you're getting a new one.
Amen.
I don't want to be so detailed in that. Right? So John 1, right? And looking upon John as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God, and behold the Lamb of God, yeah? He bore the way, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah. So why do you think they are saying we have found the Messiah? John 1 verse 41. Because the scriptures they've been reading have been speaking about a what? A Messiah. So we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Right? And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by implication a stone. The day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and find Philip and say unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now Philip found Nathanael and said unto Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses," "in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Right? So it means that in the real sense, Peter put together the writings of the prophets from the scriptures and he said, "Thou art Christ. Thou art Christ." So what is the highest revelation that a believer can have? The revelation of Christ Jesus. You get that? I'll say that again. The highest revelation. So, like I said differently, faith in the words of the prophet is the revelation of the Father. Faith in the words of the prophet is the revelation of the Father. The highest revelation a man can have is the revelation of Christ Jesus or the Father by His Spirit. Hallelujah. So another question you want to answer now is, does God want to be known by man?
Yes.
Do you understand? God wants to be known by man. God has always wanted to be known by man. So there's such a thing called the revelation of Jesus. Right? And in that revelation of Jesus, who leads that conversation? The Spirit of Truth. Yeah? Don't forget, the Spirit of Truth shall guide you into all truth. What is the all truth? The reality. Yeah? Say, God lives here. Say, God lives here forever. Say, I'm the house of God. So let me show you what that means. Look at Matthew. Go back to Matthew. Or look at John 16. Or look at John 14. Write all of them. We'll get there. Write all of them. Don't clear it. Look at John 14. This is to you. Look at verse 1. John 14, 1. That is to you. Okay? Yeah. So look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many... I didn't say John wrote it to you. Yeah. But I'm going to say something and I just saw that line and summarized what I was going to say to you. So look at chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Okay? Now, let me ask another question. Okay, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, did that scripture say in heaven are many mansions? Is that what he said?
No.
Right? Remember I've taught you before that the use of heaven and earth is to teach about what? The natural and the supernatural. The seen and unseen. But there's a word I gave you for it. The heaven and earth is a concept teach about something.
Where you can get to. Where in the Old Testament is somewhere they couldn't get to.
Yes. So where man can get to, where man couldn't get. Okay, yeah, seen and unseen. Okay. There's a word I gave you for that.
Temple?
Yeah, temple. Who said that? Yeah? Temple. You're laughing. Yeah? Temple. Have I said it?
Yeah.
Temple. Right. So heaven and earth is fundamentally. God be with you. So heaven and earth is fundamentally a way of talking about the temple. Right? So when you see Adam fell into a deep sleep, right, and God took from the rib. Are we together? I've told you before that the word there rib doesn't mean medical rib. Are we together? Right? But a way to speak about the side of a building. right? So Adam and Eve, well, can be used to speak about a couple of conversations, but fundamentally you will see the heaven and earth, you see the temple. So when he says, in my father's house are many mansions, can we say in my father's temple are many mansions? So who will be the mansions in the temple? The believers. How do you look at it now? He says, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3 now says, and if I go, is it if I go or since I go? Or when I go, right? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Altogether, there ye may be. So, you know, logically speaking, when you look at English language, you really cannot have temples, mansions in a house. For when somebody uses a mansion in his English language, he's trying to express something big. Right? You say, you are living in a house, you are living in a mansion. What it really just means that is that your house is small or your house is bigger than our own. You get that? Right? So, if we now use that logic, you know, if we go back to the original conversations, the word their house, I've told you before that the word their house is a word that actually can be used for a household. Are we together? A household or a temple. So if I call it a household, can I call it a people?
Yeah.
Yeah? A household, a temple, a people. Right? So in my father's household are many mansions. The word the mansion is the word dwelling places. Or dwelling place. Mansion is the word dwelling place. House there means household, mone. Right? Household, house. Right? So, in my father's house are many mansions. Now, I said the word a mansion in the Greek is a word that usually is used to speak about using like an inn. You know what an inn is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You know, inn is different from hotel, ideally. Mm-hmm. I feel like you have experience. You know, there is motel, there's hotel, there's inn, there's hostel. Carry together. They are not the same. If you are staying in a hostel, like what people just, you don't want people to do that, they just say, I'm staying in a dwelling place. Right? But usually, that word in is actually a word that is used for a man that is on a journey who stays there to rest to continue his journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Remember in their word, now you can easily use car, now you're already in Perth, now you're already in Glasgow. You know, in their world, it wasn't like that,
mm-hmm.
Right? It was going to be progressive because they use majorly animals, mm-hmm. Right? So that word there, mansion, actually is a word that is used for like an inn where you just stay to rest to continue a journey. So if Jesus now says, "My father's house are many mansions," what is he trying to say? In my father's house are many places where the father rests to continue his journey.
Mm-hmm.
You get that? In my father's house are many inns where the father rests to continue the journey. You get that? So, you know, starting looking at that on Sunday, or a few weeks ago, we said something about how where is God's place of rest in man? What is God's rest? A call to labor. Are we together? So, we all here are the inns where God dwells to continue his job or his work on the earth. So, how is God resting? He's resting through his saints, through his church. So, we are the people who will give ourselves to what? Sound doctrine, to labor, because we know that God has a work he wants to do on the earth. So, is God's busy joblessness? Is God's rest joblessness?
No,
God's rest is a call to labor. So, is God resting through you and I? So, when you see on the seventh day, God rested, what's that a way to teach? Yeah? So, we're in that seventh day. The day the Lord has made, we rejoice and we are glad in it. For this is the Lord's doing. It is what? Marvelous in our eyes. Why? Because the stone with the builder that was rejected has become what? The chief cornerstone. Are you following?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it means that in the real sense, you must understand that you are a dwelling place of the Father. You are a dwelling place of the Father. So it means that you should always remind yourself that God dwells here. So what is the easiest thing to say to yourself when you want to pray in the things of the Spirit?
God
dwells here. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Say, I'm the house of God.
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 I'm the habitation for the Lord.
I'm the habitation for the Lord.
Are we together? So you just always remind yourself, God dwells here. What do you think we'll get there? What do you think Peter and John told themselves just before they went, they saw that man that was lame at the gate of Beautiful? God dwells here. It wasn't more than that. God dwells here. It wasn't more than that. God dwells here. It wasn't more than that. So does God dwell in you? Yes. So now, if God dwells in you, and God is a God of the miraculous, it means God can express the miraculous to you. Are we together? So it means you can experience supernatural life through you. Why? Because the supernatural God dwells in you. If God is a supernatural God, it means that God wants to do supernatural things almost every time, and it's not always. But he needs a man. The man will be the conduit to allow the flow of supernatural, from the supernatural world to the natural world, for man to see. That's what we now call the signs and wonders. See, mind you, Peter and John, what were they going to do? They were going to pray. It would have been different if they were coming from prayer. You say, if I pray, if I don't pray, you know something? Alright. Yeah, so in the real sense, so you see, it was not, I like that Luke wrote that thing to make you see that it was before they went to pray, they got that man healed. Could they have gotten the man healed after prayer? Yes, so. Could they have gotten the man healed before prayer? You know, if they had gotten the man healed and the sequence was after prayer, men will teach you today that. So when you're coming from the place of prayer, you're a liar. You go to the place of prayer like an ant. You swear, like, you swear, you're going liar. Then you come out. Then you see the lame. Say, rise up and walk. So can you say that? So that means you can say, rise up and walk to the lame, regardless of if you are coming from prayer or going to prayer. Yeah? You see what I'm saying? It's something you know. Peter, you see, you can know yourself so well that you know you don't have money in your account. Just like Peter. Silver and gold, that's what it means now. Another way to say is, in my account, it's 2p that is there. But what I have, I give to you freely. Rise up and walk. I already see you trying to waste out. If you go and pick the leg up, you must walk today. Hallelujah. Right? That's an assurance of something they know or they knew. Are we together? So what did Jesus do via the resurrection? Go back to Matthew 16, where we really were. Don't forget, you are the house of God. You are a member of the household of God. You are a member of God's house. So you are part of the mansions found in my father's house. It is not understanding this that makes people start thinking of when you live life good on earth. God is building house for you. How many of you have houses in heaven? Right? You know, as a man, I was saying one day that God showed him his house in heaven. God said, you just need to win more souls so that we can do the roof. You see, it's not perfect to say, because people that live in that part of the world, there are so many uncompleted buildings. We're together. Right? You know, some people in their house, they are begging God to do solar. Like, their house is complete. They just want God to just put the solar on the roof. And there's some people as well, I'm not hearing people who say that, God said my house is complete, but there's no electricity. God said I should bring 10 more souls so they can connect water. And if they don't connect water, it means that if I eventually not go to the house like that, you're going to be carrying bucket from your neighbor's house. He has to use bucket now. He goes to the neighbor's house and I'm going to fetch water. And also, if you have like, what do you do? You know, some part of where I come from, I can only talk about where I come from, because that's where I'm from. You know, it's very easy for someone to, you know, people used to have lights, people that don't have light normally. You know, people used to have light now. You don't know what they call tapping. You don't know what they call tapping. Some people in the house, you see the cable they have, you think they're electrician. But it's simply for once NEPA officials have closed at 5 and 6, they roll their cable. They just curve it and hang it on the cable, on the light, after the light. Before 7 a.m., light is off. And that's what people will be living in heaven. Why do you think they have that mindset about heaven? Is because that is their environment and they are not giving to the world as well. Altogether. So people believe that the more you do good for God, the more you win souls, your house is getting complete. Just like if you want just 5 souls, you know, me, I have one more souls than you, or you have one more souls than me. God cannot give us the same house. You don't even win, so BQ. Just go to the BQ there and let them just give you one meat to be giving you small food there. You don't even deserve 3 square meat. People have that mindset. So people now believe that, oh, the more you win, more souls I have. See, God showed me my estate in heaven. See, you are covetous to the point that you still carry your covetousness to heaven. Why should God give you an estate in a world that is not here? Only you. 20 houses. Only you. So Monday you sleep in this one. Tuesday you sleep in this one. Wednesday you sleep in this. So 30 days per month. You know, so people just have a very, very interesting orientation to this thing. And I don't know how we don't see it is ridiculous. A lot of them before the scripture. My father's house. Some people, it's 3 bedrooms that they want. Some people, the houses they cannot build here. They make sure God gives them by force. In heaven. Right? And what? So you not see people winning souls because they think their houses, like their properties are increasing. Because the pastor told you that there's a land, the land of God. I think the land of God is for the cement of man. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 16. Now look at verse 18. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So does the kingdom of God have keys? Look at verse 19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Right? Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth is what? Loosed in where? In heaven. Look at Revelation 1:18. Hold your hands in Matthew 16 and go to Revelation 1:18. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord forever. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead. Who is talking there? Okay, you're not there in Revelation 1. Jesus, right. Look at Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. So Jesus knew he would die and resurrect and give keys. Is that true? From Matthew 16. The question now becomes, what are the keys that Jesus gave? And what door does the key unlock? If there's a door. Are we together? You know, key, or the use of key, is a figurative way of explaining a badge or a power of authority. You know, When your landlord gives you the key to your house or to a house, what has he given you?
Authority
into. Are we together? If I give you the key to my house, I say, go and help me bring my laptop or something. What have I given you? I've given you authority into my house. So it means that if Jesus is going to be giving a key via or after the resurrection, what is he giving?
Authority.
So it means the believer has authority. Are we together? The believer has authority. So having the key will mean having authority. So go back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Verse 19, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So what will keys, okay, hold on. What will kingdom of heaven fundamentally be regarding? Kingdom of God, okay? What is kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God regarding?
Salvation,
which is what? Forgiveness of sin. So it means that if Jesus is giving keys of the kingdom of God, it means these keys have to deal or their relation to what? Salvation or forgiveness of sin. So binding on earth and binding in heaven is about what? Salvation or forgiveness of sins. Right? So you know, I was trying to explain something before I got carried away later on. You see, a demon possessed person, I say, whatever I bound on earth, I bound in heaven. For you to, let's assume heaven is your place where God stays. Right? What you're trying to say is that there is demon in heaven. When you bind the one on earth, the one in heaven that is synonymous, it will respond. Are we together? Yeah? It says, and whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth is loosed in heaven. The concept of binding and losing is the concept of what? Forgiveness of sins. We're going to look at that shortly. Maybe not today, actually, because there's a lot to say there. Now, the keys of the kingdom, did God give it to a man or to men? The church. So, it means that you have the same key, I have the same key, Peter had the same key, and all our keys just simply means what? Authority. Go back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority. Right? All authority is given unto me in where? Please, are you following me this afternoon?
Yes.
All authority is given unto me in where?
Heaven.
All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What is the word power there? The word authority. Right? Did Jesus speak about... So, how else can you say that?
All
keys. All keys, yeah? Yeah? All the key is given unto me. Don't forget, the key is regards to what? Heaven and earth. So what you call binding and losing is what you see straight here as what? Given unto me in heaven and in earth. What is heaven and earth? Temple. So it means that the temple you've come into has a key. And that key actually is authority that Jesus has given unto you. So he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. He says, go ye therefore. That means in that authority, I give you the authority to go ye therefore and teach. Now the word there teach is the word that means to make people students. So why do we have an attitude of God's palace members coming to church and writing notes? It's because you are a student of the word. Right? I'm making you a student so that you'll become a teacher. For every believer should be a student and a teacher. It's not one or the other. You know, so we are the ones, we're just the ones that are behind the pew. And I don't like to do ministry. I just want to go and serve God. I just sit there. No. There's such a thing called the ministry God has committed into your hands. Whilst not everybody will stand here, everybody has that same ministry. Are we together? What is the ministry really about? The ministry to bind and loose. Are we together? What is bind and loose? The ministry to go in the authority to preach about the forgiveness of sins to another man. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
The authority, or the ability, the power to go and preach the forgiveness of sins to another man. Mm-hmm. So he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even until the what? The end, the accomplishment, the end of the world. Hallelujah. Right? You know, I've said it before in passing a couple of weeks into months ago. Right? I told you about how the end of the world doesn't mean the destruction of the earth. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Up on Jesus. You see, the end of the world doesn't mean that the earth will be destroyed. See, God is building the earth. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness. God wants that all men on the earth are what? His very own. Right? So where does God want to dwell on the earth? So when you say the end of the world, it's going to be similar to what you call the foundation of the world. And the foundation of the world means that God is starting up a building. Right? I will build my church. So what will be the end of the world?
the completion of the building of the church. Yeah. So don't be looking for, some of you, once you see the weather changing from brown to off brown, you're going to think that the trumpet wants to sound. Yeah. Ha, before the world was destroyed. Yeah. Let me just carry my laptop, I'm running. You know, people have a lot of things. So people are living their lives on this earth with fear. Bible says, if our faith, yeah, we're not like them who, if our faith was to be only about faith in this world, we're amongst them the most what? Yes, the miserable ones. So the believer has an assurance. Don't forget we started from John 14. What did John 14 say? John 14 says that what? I will give another comforter and I shall be with you what? Forever. So the Spirit of God resides in man forever. So now, does the Spirit of God want to express spiritual things? Oh, yes, always. But what stops the Spirit of God to express spiritual things? Man, men. All together. So man can be the one that stands in between what God wants to do. So man can choose to allow God's power to flow or can choose to restrain God's power. All together. We're together. Glory to God. Now go back all the way to John 16. Are you learning something today?
Yes.
John 16. Look at verse 12 again. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? He will guide you into all truth. That's the word reality, right? Mm-hmm. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Do you, now, if I ask you, what is the most common prayer we pray at the church in God's palace? Yeah? Eh? Ah. Ephesians 1. Like your eyes of understanding. Don't be careful. Yeah, that the eyes of understanding is enlightened, that we may know, that we may see what the work of the Spirit is. You see, that prayer is a prayer that we pray till the last breath. Are we together? It's a prayer that we pray till the last, because it's a journey, we're on a journey. We're on a progressive journey. Right, so Jesus will say, you see why you need to pray it? Even Jesus that started this conversation said, because I go, you will see me. Yeah, you need to pray. Because I go, you will see me. That one requires prayer. It's supposed to be ideally, because I have come, you will see me. But it says, because I go. So what you now call the ascension will now be that God will now come by His Spirit as the another comforter. As the helpmate in Genesis 2. The helpmate that God promised man. That's the salvation plan of God for man. Are we together? Now, where did Jesus say He was going to? To the Father, right? So what is Jesus is doing to the Father? The Spirit coming to us. You get that, right? So the going of Jesus to the Father is the, so the ascension of Jesus to the Father is the descent of the Spirit to the heart of man. That's important to note. The ascension of Jesus to the Father is the descent of the Spirit into the heart of man. You get that? The ascension of Jesus to the Father is the descent of the Spirit into our hearts. So when Jesus says, I will go to the Father, what is He really saying? You will see me. Another comforter will come. You will see me. You will see me. You will see me. Now the question that becomes, is the going to the Father about going to the cloud? So did Jesus go to the clouds? Amen. Did Jesus go to the clouds?
No.
Yeah, so you know people say there are nine heavens. There's the first heaven, the second, and the ninth heaven are for those who are close to God. You can't get there without doing. I heard a pastor saying, you've not done 40 days prayer and fasting, you call yourself pastor. That's my brother there. My name is Brother Joshua. I'm not pastor yet. You should do your apostleship. Is there anything wrong with doing 40 days and fasting? But we think, you know. When you pray for 40 days and 14 days, 14 days and 14 nights, who does it help? God or you?
Yeah.
It's you now. Are you together? So people think that when they go for those kind of meetings, they come back with more anointing. Yeah, that's one of the things I want to teach you today, right? Your prayer doesn't make the anointing of God upon your life really increase. Your prayer doesn't make the ever-abiding presence of God with you increase. Are we together? Your prayer just works on your mind, your consciousness, to be aware of the ever-abiding presence of God with you and you. Are we together? Right? So some of us believe that there's a lot to say here, but let me just take a little. Some of us believe that what was happening in the real sense between Jesus and his disciples was that they saw him ascending. Right? And they saw him and he was just going up into the clouds. And Jesus, do you know that song that says, you came from heaven to earth to show the way from the death to the cross, my death to be from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Is that how we sing it? From the grave to the sky. Are we together? Right? But for proper Bible teaching, we know it's not the sky he went to. Why? Because his ascension to the sky really is the ascension to the Father, that is the descent into our hearts. I will not leave you comfortless. I will be with you in you forever. So how do you sing that? You from the cross to the grave, from the grave to my heart. Are we together? Some people sing to the throne. But you must understand that that throne is where? Your heart. For God has built a throne in your heart where he sits and resides. Hallelujah. So you see, these are things you bring to your subconscious on a daily basis. Right? That God lives here. The palace of God. Yeah? So, the name of our church is what? God's palace. What does that really mean? We are the household, the tabernacle of God. Each and every one of us, we are the temple of the living God. Where heaven and earth meet. Right in you. Yeah? So, I'm God's palace. I'm God's dwelling place. That's what you mean. Hallelujah. Yeah? So, when Jesus says, I go to the Father, if you go back to John 14, go back to John 14, I think you're there, right? Look at John 14, verse 3. John 14, 3. See what it says carefully. Yeah, John 14. Let not we finished verse 2, right? Look at verse 3. And when is it if I go?
When I go,
or since I go, or since I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you unto myself. So this I will come again. Is this the second coming? Don't be fast. You know, some of us are anticipating the second coming. Right? And a lot of us are expecting the second coming from the clouds or from the sky. The reason why we expect the second coming from the cloud is simply because, fundamentally, we thought that is where he went to. Mm-hmm. You get that, right? Some of us are looking forward to the second coming. But where do you think the second coming will happen from? Either the second coming. Be careful. Where will the second coming happen from? Don't go too far. So God will be revealed from his saints, from his church. Are we together? Are we together? Oh, up up, Jesus.
Up up, Jesus.
Yeah? So, you see, even this thing is up up, Jesus. Now, Satan. Right? It's because we think that anything about up, but we forget that the earth is spherical. Right? And you're down Satan, somebody's heaven. Is that not true? Yes, now. The earth is spherical. Somebody is standing upside down on the other side of the earth. And your own down Satan is their up heaven. Right? So that's why we should explain that. Bible use of heaven earth is to speak about the unseen and the seen. So the clouds in which you see as well is part of the earth.
Yeah.
Because it is seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why when man leaves the earth, they can see the earth, but doesn't mean they have seen God. Because even if you get to Mars, it is still seen. But God in the world that is unseen, Right? So in their world, they will use heaven and earth. So, you know, in our world, we have plane. In their world, they used to fly. So that which is above will be that which is far off that man doesn't get so. And their knowledge will be what will be used to teach the doctrine of God to them. All together. So, look at verse 3 again. And since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive. So this I will come again, has it happened or is it going to happen? John 14:3. Has John 14:3 happened or it will happen?
It's happened.
Okay, look at it carefully. And since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So where is he? Where we are. Where are we? Where he is. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. There's this song, you know, by Saints Community. It says, where I am is where you are. You live in me. You walk through me. So so Jesus going to the Father is really... So look at it this way. Jesus going to the Father is to go and prepare a place for you with the Father, so that he can bring you to the Father. Mm-hmm. But in the real sense, it's so that the Father can come into you. Are we together? Right? So the ascension, like I said earlier on, the ascension of Jesus to the Father, you know, so the ascension is about preparing the place. So where is the place that God is preparing? My heart. Are we together? So the preparation that Jesus is making is so that God can dwell in you. You know, like I said in one of our teachings last week or 2 weeks ago, I said that the architect of the building is God himself. The builder is God himself. The one that lives in the building is God himself. So God the architect, God the builder, God the dweller, all God lives in man. So you don't know, you cannot prepare a place for God to stay. That's why you see, is it Paul in Acts? You say, you people think that God dwells in this temple. You see, for God does not dwell in places that are made with the hands of men. Are we together? Yeah? So man cannot build a place for God. Yeah? So look at it this way. If you want to build a house for yourself, who do you need to build it? Who needs to build it? I mean, physical house. You and your builder. Another man. If you want to build a house for God, the moment another man will be the builder, that is not where God stays. No matter how big it is. Did you get that? Did you get that? You know, I said this. I said, Edinburgh is too small to house God, but the believer is big enough to house God. Yeah? Scotland is too small to house God, but you are big enough to house God. Why? Because, see, God is the only one that makes his house his way, that will tolerate him and accept him. The moment man begins to try to use their hand to build a house for God, it will fail. Altogether, it will fail. So man is to believe that God will do the building and God will do the needing. What did man start trying to do? Man started trying to do the building for God. Then Paul would have said, God doesn't dwell in houses made with hands. Right? He will not tell you, for you are the temple. Right? As big, as small as you are the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the living God. So what do you remind yourself about every time? I'm the house of God. I'm the dwelling place of God. God lives in me. God dwells in me. God dwells in me. God dwells in me. God lives in me. God dwells in me. God lives in me. God dwells in me. Right? You see, you can say to yourself every second until it dawns on you. Life will not always go as you plan. Does anybody promise you anything that is not promisable? Don't worry, challenges. So that you are far from God. Right? Challenges will always come. They will always come. Crises will usually come. They will always come. But how do you get your heart through those storms? Through the storm? Always remember that even in the storm, God is with you. You see, God is on your boat even in the storm. Hallelujah. God is forever in you. So his preparation of a place is to bring it to the Father. In bringing it to the Father, it is that he's bringing the Spirit into your heart. Then God now says, God dwells in you. So, you see, can a church build an auditorium that can seat 1 million people?
Yes.
Can a church build an auditorium to house God? No. Yeah. You get that, right? Right? So, you see, when you see churches building auditoriums in their hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands, it is because there's a need for it. Do you understand? See, if your church is 1,000, you know, a place that sits less than 100 people will not accommodate you people now. So what do you have to do? You build something bigger. Yeah? So it means that, you see, God doesn't need to tell you to build something bigger before you build something bigger. Yeah? So people, for people, their own extreme is that, God gave me an instruction that this is how this house must be, the house of the Lord, the tabernacle of the Lord. Yeah, it's only the house of the Lord to the degree in which it's a place where the saints come together to fellowship as the house of the Lord. Are we together? So the believer has by default moved from the natural world to the spiritual world, yet living in the natural world. Are we together? So we're all here natural. I mean, there are natural things you do. You brush the thing before you came here, hopefully. Right? Yeah, and that is why sometimes people don't understand these things, and they think that things like medicine are anti-God. Yeah, I know people who have lost their children, or they've lost their children or their birth for whatever reason, because they didn't want to take people's blood transfusion. Bible says the blood of the flesh is in the, I mean, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Yeah, so how can you give my life versus life in my blood? You see, people have lost their lives that way. There are some people who have lost their pregnancies and their life because they said, my pastor said I will give birth like the Hebrew woman. Hebrew woman. You forgot where you are from. Your father, your Greek, I know where they are from. You say like Hebrew woman. The journey is far. You know, and I've taught you before what Hebrew woman delivery was. What is it? They lied. They lied. You remember that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, go back to Exodus. Let me show you quickly. They lied. I have the anointing. I don't do CS. I do SC. Scriptural. I don't take drugs. And I just feel I just say no matter. You see, there's a I need to do a series. And guess what I've titled this series? Drawing the line between foolishness, stupidity, and the word of God. I'll do that series maybe next year. Once you just say a flyer, just say drawing the line. Only you will know the rest. I just put drawing the line on the flyer. Yeah? Because you need to be able to draw the line between foolishness, stupidity. Like that one now. So that one now that says the pastor now, he said he can decide to say he will not go hungry. He just does be feeding him every day. Look at people you first take to you know that place where they should drop people like that. If you don't know the place, so I just said my own innocently. Yeah, you know, somebody's supposed to go and carry a tie rope before he starts doing something that nobody knows. Look at Hebrews, Exodus 1. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and he said unto the people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. So it means the Egyptian king had insecurity. Yeah? So he said, let's deal wisely with them. How did he plan to deal wisely with them? Look at verse 11. Therefore, they did set over them tax masters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built the Pharaoh's treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Don't forget, insecure Egyptian king. And the Egyptian made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in bricks and in all manner of service in the field, and in their service wherein they made them serve with was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives. What did he say to them? Look at verse 16. When he do the office of a nurse, of a midwife to the Hebrew woman, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall what? Kill him, but if he be a daughter, then shall he what? Live. But midwives feared. What does it mean to fear God? They had regard for God. They had a good conscience that they didn't know. They didn't think they could kill, or they don't want to kill. What did the Egyptian king say? If a woman gives birth, once you see a boy, kill. Why do you think he wanted them to kill the boys? Because it is the boys that will grow and they will train in the army. Mm-hmm. Because he was insecure that these people will not come and take over. Take over generation. Right? So he said, if it's a girl, allow her to live. If it's a boy, kill. So what did the Hebrew women do? Look at verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men of saved the men, children alive. So the king of Egypt found out and called for the midwives and said unto them, ah, what have you done this thing? What is the thing they did? They disobeyed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And have saved the men, children alive. Mm-hmm. What did the midwives say in verse 19? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are what? They are delivered before the midwives come in unto them. Was that a lie?
Yeah.
So what were they doing? They were lying to preserve their lives. The king said, kill every male child. Are we together? What did they not do? They didn't kill because they have fear of God. And what the king now asked them, what did they say? See, these people, women, they are so strong. Even before nurses come, they've already given them and packed their load. You know that's what people think their childbirth will be. Why do they call it labor room? It's so that you will go there and what? Labor! You ideally should go to labor room and be crying, not smiling. Amen? You know what? Okay. Sorry, oh. You'll be laughing. You'll be laughing. Right? I've heard of so many stories. Even so, that's what people who too. This thing they have to use to use this thing. Yeah, but God is good. Yeah? See, if you go there and you are able to laugh when you are giving birth, okay. But don't connect to any seed with Hebrew women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have the anointing of Hebrew women. Once I lay hands on you, pain disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Once pain disappears, check yourself. There's like when it's not injection they give you. Well, you can, anyways, let's not go into all of those dynamics. Go back to John 14. I don't know how I got there. So, the coming of Jesus Christ is what? His going, or the going of Jesus Christ is his coming by his Spirit to our hearts. So, verse 3, John 14, 3. Since I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am is what? Where there you may be also. So, you see why we say we are the household, we are part of the household of God, the temple of God. For where the Father is where God has, Jesus has brought us to. Are we together?
Yeah.
So, you know that song, Oh come to the Father, through Jesus, the Son. That is a song we sing on evangelical ground. When we sing it as saints, we don't say, Oh come to the Father. Why? Because Jesus has brought you to the Father. So, how do we say that? We've come to the Father through Jesus, the Son. We give him the glory. We sing to you. So, when you go for evangelism, what do you do? Oh come. So the Father. What is all come to the Father? Get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Are we together? Praise the Lord. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 21 quickly. Rekindle. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 verse 20. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 12. No. Look at verse 10. Hallelujah. Start there. Look at verse 10. Or look at verse 9 then. Or verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Right? And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called on circumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So now it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye, you see that? Who were sometimes were what? Far off. You see, we are what? We've come to the Father. We were far off, now we've come. So we were far off, now we've come, and we are made near by the blood of Christ. What is the blood of Christ? The life of Christ. Are we together? Don't forget that. The life of Christ. So what is the blood of Jesus about? The life he gives upon the resurrection. Not the blood that spilled from his skin. Because what got you saved was not the blood that spilled from his skin when he was flogged, but the life he gives upon the resurrection. Yeah? Yeah? It is not understanding this that makes you pour the blood on the road. Hallelujah. Or you dip yourself in the blood, or you drink the blood. Right? We drank the blood in that we received his life. That means we are saved eternally. We're once far off, now we've come near into the family of God. We're now members of his household. We're now that mansion in which God resides and continues his work on the earth. So we're far off before brought near by the blood of Christ, verse 14. For it's our peace who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Look at verse 15. Having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself a 21 new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body for the, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Look at verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were near. For through him we both have access by what? One Spirit unto the Father. You see that? For through him. Is that in Jesus Christ? So what is the we have access? He has prepared a place. You understand? So the preparation of the place that Jesus has made for you is so that you can have what? Access to the Father by one Spirit. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers. Are we together? And foreigners, but citizens, fellow citizens with the saints. And of the what? Are you here? We've not started though. You're already tired. We've not started. Yeah? Let's read verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now therefore, ye were no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household. So what is fellow citizens? From John 14, 2. Mansions. You get that right?
Yeah.
So we are fellow citizens with the saints. And of the... So what is household of God in John 14, 2? House. Are we together? So we are city. So what is house? Temple. What is temple? Kingdom of God. So are you from a kingdom of God?
Yeah.
Yes. What does that mean? You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. It means you are one who has authority in the temple of God. Are we together? Right? And are built upon the foundation, look at verse 20, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the what? Chief cornerstone. Remember, so remember Psalm 118. The stone which the builder what? Rejected has become the chief cornerstone. What's the next verse? This is the Lord's doing, is marvelous in our eyes. What's the next verse? This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and are glad in it. So what exactly is the stone that the builder rejected? Yeah? Right? The stone which the builder rejected, via the resurrection, we see he becomes the chief cornerstone. Not you that your family disdained. Are we together? If your family disdained you, what do you do? Go into the career world and make a name for yourself. Are we together? Right? You know, that you go into the career world doesn't mean you actually get it well in the career world. You know why? Because men are also involved. You know, our successes in the career world is dependent on other men. Mm-hmm. Yeah? God will not just speak you as a saint and say, because you are my child, I'm going to throw you in the career world. You come as successful or successful, nothing else. Yeah? Because men are there, even if, well, you have prospects. It's not just my prospects. Men will always be men. But the fact that God has taken you from the mighty clay and put your feet on the solid rock, he has brought you onto Mount Zion. You are now fellow citizens with the saints. You are now members of the household of God, with Christ Jesus being the what? The chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. So the stone that has been rejected now, so you have now become a lively stone in the stone. You have now become a lively stone, in the building. Right? You are now one who is now being used by God to continue the building of the earth by his spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it means that by default, the comforter that Jesus promises or speaks about is the same, like we said, is the helper that God promised from the beginning. and it's what we've received. Right? Look at Mark 16. Amen.
Amen.
Are we still here?
Yes.
Are we still here?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Look at Mark 16 quickly. Verse 15. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth, but he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. Look at verse 17. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Is that for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that for you?
Yeah.
This sign shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover. Are we together? They shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover. Why do you think you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? Because you are the house of God. You are the house of power. God dwells in you. Right? The wealth of God's spirit has been demonstrated towards you. You are God's very own. You are God's tabernacle. You are God's dwelling place. So can you lay hands on the sick?
Yes.
Can they recover?
Yes.
Yeah? So when you want to lay hands on the sick, what should your mindset be? Jesus said it. God can do it. I will lay hands and I will see it happen. All together, I will lay hands. And I'll say, so you must see yourself as a conduit, not the main man. Yeah. So because it is when you see yourself as the main man that if for any reason nothing happens, you get disappointed. Are you here? Are you here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So because somewhere in your mind you think that healing is a demonstration of your power. Do you get that? So if you pray for somebody and the person and nothing happens to the eyes of men. You feel disappointed. Why? Because you think that, oh, what I was supposed to perform did not perform. So what should be your mindset? I lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? Because Jesus has said it. Why? Because I'm a member of the household of God. I'm a member of the household of God. I'm a member of the household of God. Look at 1 John 5:20 quickly. 1 John 5:20. Look at 1 John 5:20, and it says, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given to us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son. This is the true God, and what? Eternal life." So the Son of God has given us an understanding. Means the work of Jesus is actually with the goal that God dwells in man. See it again. He says, "And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Christ Jesus. This is the true God and what? Eternal life." Right? Right? So remember from our teaching on wooden love. Love, what are the two great commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and all thy understanding, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do we say that? What does that mean?
Receive
of His love. Mm-hmm. Yeah? You know, we sing that song, I love you forever, I love you forever, I love you forever. Yeah? You know, how do we see your love for God?
Yeah.
We see your love for another man. Mm-hmm. I was watching a video yesterday, you know the song, Fragrance of My Worship? Why not to the Father?
Yeah?
And that's why I have a question. What is the fragrance of your worship? Yeah? Good. She didn't share. Okay, she got it. Eventually. What is the fragrance of your worship? Your love to man. Wednesday, right? Yeah? So the fragrance of your worship is not the song. Yeah? The song was just in there. But when you sing good song like this, the fragrance is just going up. The God will now say, who are those praising me? Wow. Say, when you praise Him, He will raise you. And I'm going to buy a ladder. Right? Well, I've talked about that, but we'll leave that for that. So, what is... let me digress a little. We're saying that during the doctrine of praise and worship, right? And we said that Abel offered a sacrifice that had a sweet-smelling Savor, yeah, that had a good favor unto God, a flavor unto God, right? Right? And was well pleasing. What is the sacrifice? In that he offered love work, or he gave love work another man. I was together, right? So, in the real sense, when you say, you believe, I love you, Lord, first it must be, I receive of your love for me. I believe that you dwell in me, or I believe that you want to dwell in me for those who are not saved. Then what happens? And now what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. What is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? It means thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor, another person, just as you receive love. Yeah? Not love your neighbor the way you want them to love you. That's selfish love. Right? It is love your neighbor, means love in another the way you receive love, unconditionally. Right? Because the author of love is who? God. Look at Romans 5 now. Are you tired?
No.
I've not started though. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 5, verse 5. He says, and hope, make it not ashamed, because the love of God has shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the what?
God's power. It's only me that is there.
Are you tired?
We are Romans 5 now. Romans 5. Some of you are in the Kudan. In Nehemiah.
Romans 5:5. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And hope, make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Right? So, the Holy Ghost given unto us, is that the going of Jesus? Yeah? Is that the going of Jesus to prepare a place?
Yeah?
So, his going is that the Holy Ghost has been given. So, was Jesus going? When you say Jesus was going, you can say he was going out of love.
Yeah?
Because his going out of love is so that you might what? Receive or be given the Holy Ghost or receive the Holy Ghost. Yeah? So look at verse 6. Let's read together again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we're yet without strength. Are we together? Christ died for the ungodly. So it was not when man got strength, Christ died. It was when man was without strength, Christ died. Are we together? So the love of God is that God demonstrates his love to man when man was without strength. Yeah? You see that? See that, right? So look at the next verse. It says, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Look at verse 8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Look at verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be what? Saved by his life. Hallelujah. So God demonstrated his love towards us when we were yet sinners. So a man is to believe that the Father has loved him. Right? So you are believing that he has loved you and not really believing. So in believing he has loved you, what happens? You receive his life. You are quickened from death. It means you have left. So it means that a believer is one who has left the category of those that are without strength. Mm-hmm. Yeah? A believer has also left the category of those that are ungodly. So we were once ungodly, now we are what? The Bible says in Ephesians 2, we read that earlier on, we are his what? His workmanship. His workmanship. His workmanship in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you are the product of the labor that Jesus went through. Hallelujah. By the cross. Right? So you say, Jesus, you died there. What's the proof that you are alive? What happens? You say, look at the believer. Yeah? You are the trophy. You are the product that has been molded from the, you know, from the factory. You are that which has been created as a dwelling place of God. So it means you are one who is saved, eternally saved. So every believer is what? Saved. See, once you are saved, you have left the category of the ungodly. There are two types of people on this earth. The godly and the ungodly. Now, godly in from Romans 8 is not measured by those that are living right. Godly is measured by those that have believed in the right thing that Jesus has done by the resurrection. So once you are godly, what happens? You've left the midst of those without strength. You now have strength. You are now what? The godly in Christ Jesus. You are no longer ungodly. So a man who has received the... So what does it mean to be saved? It means to receive the Spirit of God. What does it mean to receive the Spirit of God? It means to have the life of God forever. It means you cannot be unborn again. Hallelujah. A man that is saved eternally. A man that is made righteous eternally. Why? Because it is not what you stopped doing that made you righteous. Do you understand? You see, when you got saved, I don't know if any of you can remember when you got saved. Yeah?
If you remember the day you gave your life to Christ.
Yeah? You know, we call it giving your life to Christ, really. But in your recent, you didn't have a life to give. Yeah? You didn't have a life to give. You received of his life. Now that you received of your life, your service to church, your ministry is giving your life to Christ. Do you understand? So when you go for evangelism, what happened? That's you giving your life. When you come for service, giving your life to Christ Jesus. So when you didn't have life, you're without strength. What happened? Christ gave you an offering. And what happened? You saw it. You said, this is lovely. What happened? You received it. You ate of the bread of God. You know, God has a factory where he bakes bread. Hallelujah. Right? God has a factory where he bakes bread. And the bread that comes out from God's factory is Christ Jesus. John 6, I'm the bread of life. Yeah? He says, if you don't eat me, if you don't drink me. You see, God has a, what do you call that place where you create wine? Distillery, right? Yeah, a wine factory. Depending on where you are from the West. Right? So, there's a factory that God produces bread. So, is God a baker? Yes. God bakes his son as a bread for you to eat. Once you eat the bread God bakes, my dear brothers and sisters, you cannot vomit it. Nothing can turn your stomach. You know when you put your hand inside your throat and go, ah, ah, ah. No, you cannot. You cannot vomit it. So, look, imagine, somebody says, you got born again. I'm no longer serving Jesus again. Well, it's not because you said you want to live the serving Jesus that you got saved. It's because you believe that he gave you his life. And upon believing that you are saved eternally, you have a spirit, you have a spirit. You are forever his child. There is never a time that God will call one of his child. You are an ex-child. God doesn't have ex-children. He doesn't. God doesn't have ex-children. You are God's child forever. Why? Because what made you his child was he gave birth to you. No matter how much you say your father is not your father, you have his DNA in you. No matter how much you're not my father. No, my father. No, I'm not doing anything with you again. Last thing you're playing. Yeah? No matter where you go, if they do DNA test, he's your father. Yeah? Hallelujah. So when it comes to the work of Christ Jesus, he has done it eternally. For a man to be saved and to be unsaved, it means that a man needs to ask Jesus to go back to do everything he has done by the death, the burial. When it comes to resurrection, third day will not come alive. Fourth day will not come alive. He's forever there. But praise be God. Yeah? See, if men wanted it to go their way, Jesus should not resurrect on the third day. But God has his way. God has his way. Gave himself sacrificially to man, and man killed him. And when he died, he resurrected on the third day. And the resurrection on the third day was something I had been saying from the beginning. Right? You see, that's what the Bible said, Isaiah, I am the Lord, the God that declares the end of a matter from when? The beginning. What is the end of the matter from the beginning? That I love man so much, and I will give myself sacrificially to man for man's sake. Are we here? Have we gone? Yeah, so go back to John 14, where we really are for this series. Time has gone. Oh, Lord. John 16. Hallelujah. Time has gone. See, the Father is in me. See, the Father is in me. See, I'm the house of God forever. So look at John 16 again. John 14 rather. Look at 21. Or should I go? Look at 21. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will what? Manifest myself. Now let me ask you a question. Manifest myself to him. Is that correct? John 14:21. Yes, saying. You know the funny thing about this young man standing in front of you? Your facial expression doesn't make me finish quickly. Are we together? I don't say because you are looking tired and I say, let me just wrap up. No, I will touch what I want to touch by the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah? So better rejoice. Are we together? Right? So, look at John 14. So, he says, and I'll manifest myself to him. Do you think that's the concept? Is it going to be to him? What would be a better preposition to do there? In him. Don't forget now, look at verse 20. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He didn't say, and I to you. Did you see that? Yeah, you shall be, look at it in verse 20, John 14, 20. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye are in me, and I in you. He that had my commandment and given it, he is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him. Are we together? In him. So where is God? Is God showing up to you or in you?
In
you. Right? So I didn't say the ascension of Jesus is a descent of the Spirit to you. It is the ascension of Jesus is a descent of the Spirit in you. So the landing ground of the Spirit upon the ascension is what? The heart of a man that believes. So, the believer is the abode of God. The Father's house is the revelation of what Jesus has done, right? And by extension, what we now continue to do upon believing that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, it means that by default, the believer is supernatural. Do you know that, look at your neighbor, do you know that there is more to you than meets the eye? Just look at your neighbor, don't ask them. Now ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, do you know there's something more to you than meets the eye?
You know there's something
more to you than meets the eye.
Yeah.
You know that, right? So once you have ears, you have nose, you have eyes, you have hands, there's something called spiritual faculties. So there's something called the ear of the Spirit. Yeah? There's something called the eye of the Spirit. Now, what is the eye of the Spirit about? That means you can see far beyond the physical. Are we together? Yeah? You can see far beyond what another man can see casually. So can you see in the Spirit? Yes, sir. Do you know that a man can be blind physically and see in the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
That should tell you there are two worlds. A man can be blind in the physical and see spiritual. You know they are mighty men. Let me tell you this today. You know, more often than not, a lot of times when I've experienced the mightiest miracles in my ministry over the past years, there are times when there are things that might be wrong with me. And in the middle of that, we see the supernatural manifest to others. What does that really mean? It really goes as much to show that when it comes to the power of God and demonstration of the power of God, right, there is, God is just looking for a willing vessel, regardless. God just needs a willing vessel, regardless. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah. Do you remember that scripture in Acts 10:38? How the Holy Ghost, how the Lord anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about what? Doing good. So that Holy Ghost that was in Christ Jesus made him do good. What was he doing good? Healing those that were what? Oppressed. Setting captives free. Amen? So it means we can see miracles through you.
Yes.
We can experience healing through you. It means you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
Yes.
Right? And it means you can cast out a demon from a man and what? He becomes free. Right? It means you can give sight to the blind physically. Why? Because what you carry is so... You see, the power of God in the believer can tackle any kind of sickness. Any. It's not limited. Don't limit your power of God in you for headache alone. Yeah? When you start with headache, don't do your Christian faith. Don't finish your Christian faith with headache. Why do you start with headache? Well, to help you, not to help God. But sometimes we try to help God. You see some cases like this. I don't think this one. You carry your eye away as if you didn't see them. I mean, is that how we behave? Right? Someone just says, yeah, Hey, Sister Esther, you know, my body is just doing more than that. Just drink a lot of water. Don't be drinking water. Right? You know, one of the best ways to grow in the things of the Spirit is by practice. Are we here? The reason why a lot of people don't minister by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gifts of healing and everything is because they are always scared to practice. See, there's no fear here.
There's no
fear. Say, I will not give room to fear today. Say, I'll give expression to the power of God today. Right? So it's very easy to say. So imagine you go and meet somebody and you actually have accurate word of knowledge. I remember a couple years ago when I started, you know, expressing the things of the Spirit. And I would just go to a place and I would just find out information about the person. And I'll just know whether I'll be, you know, then the goal was, what they now say is guesswork. Right? Or is just keep quiet. But you know, a lot of times, the reason for the gifts of the Spirit is that's what we call it signs and wonder. Is a pointer, is a sign. And sometimes I'll meet someone for the first time, I'll know the person's name. But I'll just say, I think I'm just looking at his face. Those are people, their face might look like Stephanie. Look like it's Stephanie. Look at Paul. Right? I said, let me adjust my mind. But in a lot of times, that is how you practice. Oh my goodness, that's how you practice. And that's why I tell you a lot of times, the best place to express the most, fundamentally, local church, when you go to the streets. All together. So why are we doing what we're doing today? To train you how to do it, to show you how to do it, so that you can be what? Bold about it. Yeah? Somebody come and meet you and they say, I have headache. You can say, I can agree with you in prayer. You see, have those kind of friends that spoil you into good works. Have those kind of friends that spoil you into serious, serious spiritual conversation. Not every time, they are going to Paloma. How did that think of that, right? You know, they're going to Paloma. Something like, you don't laugh throughout the day. They're going to Paloma that's making you laugh. They're going to Paloma. You know, they're going to Paloma. That year, in your mind, see them. What picture did I open to last night? They cannot remember, but remember in your mind, 2006. She checked your Bible.
No, you're 43. In case you ask me what I'm saying.
Right? So, in the recent, it means that saints, you can actually remind yourself of God's power and actually demonstrate God's power. Right? You can actually see someone that is sick and actually say, let me lay hands on you. Don't lay hands on the person thinking that you are the one doing the power or the miracle. You are not a magician. If you tell somebody, I see your name is Paul. The person, my name is not Paul. Don't say, as our pastor will just be encouraging us. Go for it. Now we'll enter the battleground. The pastor is not here. Don't mind this lovely wife. That my lovely wife went to the streets of Edinburgh to do evangelism with her friend. And they got to the place and they were doing word of knowledge. Guess what my wife was saying? I wish PJ was here. Oh, he would have done word of knowledge for the first time. You see, I'm here with you here. So that you can go there. I can't be everywhere. I'm here with you here. You can go there. I can't be everywhere. But I can go anywhere. Stop me. I'll put flyer. Right? So, don't be doing believers with your friends. Say, PJ, come to our group. Oh. PJ, come to our group. Our group. Come and finish it for me. I started it. I don't know how to continue. Yeah. You just always remind yourself, I know what to say. I'm not confused. You see, God is a talking God. God always has what to say. It's just that, are you patient enough to listen? Don't jump fast. You're not supposed to be too fast. You're not supposed to be too slow. Because the time might slide, and if you are too slow, you give room to more doubt. Right? So, in today's meeting, you have a conversation with people, and you hear a name. A name you never heard in your life. You just ask, who has anything to do with this name? And you just say it. If they say nobody, what do you do? Let's continue praying. You see, a lot of times, I've had meetings. In fact, strangely, I've had meetings. I remember, even a couple of weeks ago, I was here. I finished describing somebody, right? And nobody responded. And as soon as I finished the meeting, a couple met me and said, we are the ones we are talking about. You know, you can actually be on the spot at the moment and you will not know it's about you. Do you understand? You don't know it's about you. Yeah? Now, another way to go about these things is that when you have those names and those promptings, What don't you do? Right? Sometimes when you say something, right, try to go further a little. What now? Why do you think I give particular details about somebody and the same person I'm going further about? It's just so that you can be rest assured that God actually cares about you.
Mm.
You see, God knows details. And so that you will be, you know, so for instance, you know, if I said something about, let's use her for instance, if I said something about Chris, you know, I could have said that statement casually, and anything that follows as an instruction to God, she won't pay attention to it as much because she will think, Chris is plenty now.
Mm.
Listen, when I say Chris, and the person is from here, the person is doing this, the person is, it cannot, it's you. Eh? So when they tell you what to do, you write it down. Do you understand? So sometimes you'll be in a meeting. I think all these sometimes you'll be having a believer's meeting. I'll say, who is this person? And nobody will say. When you now go and say, who is that? When you now continue giving more information, you now link, I'm the first name. So people forget their second name in church. When you are thinking of rice, I'm thinking of pasta. Yes. I'll buy means. I'll buy a chicken thigh. That's what you're thinking of each other. So even at the point they say, who is this? You forgot that that's your name, forgot they named you that. And that's the name most people call you. It happens. Yeah. So you as a person, don't get discouraged. Don't say, Pastor say, just say it. Now I said it though. Nobody responded. Well, you go ahead. If you can, go a step further and get more details. Do you remember what Jesus did in John? Go to John 4. Let me show you an example. You see, Jesus is a template for us to go. Yeah, we'll get into all of that in a couple of minutes now, okay? Go all the way to John. Go all the way to John 4. This sign shall follow. Peter will say, look at us. I have that which is more than gold. I have that which is more than gold. I have that which is more than gold. Look at John 4. Look at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city of to buy meat. Now, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Let me see. Let me go to where I want to go to. Go to verse 16 for time. Look at verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I may test not. Right? Neither come hither to draw. Look at verse 16. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. What did Jesus say? Go and call your husband and come. Did the woman have husband? Did the woman have husband?
No.
So Jesus missed it. Say it, sir. No, say it. Open your mouth and say it. Jesus missed it. Did he miss it?
Yes.
You have the heart, though. Yeah, you have mind, you have heart. All is yours. So Jesus says, what? So it means there's some. Why do you think these things function by questions? Because questions are one of the ways you can bring people to remembrance. What did Jesus say? Go and call your husband. What did the woman say? I have no husband. You know, if there's some of us today, what would we say? It's PJ. After Joshua said, just say it. Eh? You see, at that point, what you should not do is trying to get into the flesh to try to remedy yourself. You will just be going to where you don't know. You will just be going. I remember I met one Muslim like that. I went for evangelism, maybe last year or 2 years ago. I met a Muslim. And I started preaching to him, and he started asking me questions. I couldn't ask his question. In the middle of his question, I now gave him to word of knowledge. I said, how is this? Your mother gave it to, I think if I said your mother gave it to 8 children or something like that. And I said, this is the first child name, this is the second child name, this is the third. I gave you your first 3 names of your child. He started telling me, what's the 4th, 5th, and 6th? What is wrong with you? We just gave you 1, 2, 3. You're asking 4, 5. You see, because I've grown a little at that point, I didn't begin to say, I didn't begin to search the spiritual dictionary. If I continue, I'll just mention a name you have never heard. Why? Because I'm trying to walk in the flesh.
Yeah.
Because the spirit of the spirit is not for show off. Some of you, you say, to prove that it's only by the spirit, come and tell the name of my grandfather. Usually you go to your grandfather. Your grandfather's name is. He just say one thing like this. Even if he's correct, he will say you are wrong. Yeah. So when you get into that situation, now some people now, one of the things they do is when they say, like Jesus, go and call your husband. But more or less, I don't have any husband. See, is there anybody around you that doesn't have husband or that has husband? See, there are times that can be the question. But don't always try to get yourself into the flesh too. You're not trying to remedy yourself. Don't look for quick scheme out. Do you understand? Don't look for quick scheme out. And let me tell you something. You can only get better by practice. And when you keep practicing, you get more refined. You see, that I'm coming to here today and I'm giving details like that, it's not because I started yesterday. This is already for a long time. You don't want to know me when I started though. But what kept me going, like my master, it's not about me. It's not about, I'm not trying to protect my name before they say it's just going to pronounce with guessing people information. There's some information about people. You cannot see, you cannot set anywhere. Do you understand? Those are the kind of things we want to see today. Eh? The one that somebody will tell you that, I've not told anybody this one, how do you know? God knows now. Right? So, this one I said, I have no husband. Some of us now with our full chair say Jesus missed it. But look at what Jesus went for us to do. He said, you've said well. Are you there? Verse 18, John 4, 18. For thou hast had 5 husbands. You see details? You see details? You've had 5 husbands, and he whom thou art now with is not even your husband. Those are 2 details. You understand? So, what do some of us do? We stop after he say, I don't have a husband. What did Jesus do? Right? He went further by the Spirit and started bringing out accurate information. He says, what? He says, you have 5 husbands. Go ahead. In that says thou truly. The woman said, sir, I perceive thou as a prophet. What did he do? The next thing Jesus did was going to teach about what? Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall need die in this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. Right? So it means that eventually, when you start with signs, you don't end with signs. There must be an end goal. So what is word of knowledge? Let me summarize it for you because time seems to be running fast on me. Right? So I always told you, word of knowledge seems to be what? Going back into time to bring information to the front. Do you get that? Right? Word of knowledge. I'll say it again. Going back into time or from the present back into time. Are we together? So for instance, when I ask who is Bukumi for instance, it's not the moment I say who is Bukumi, somebody started bearing Bukumi. Do you understand? It's not when I said who is this, that someone knows. So these are already stabilized information. The word of wisdom is now picking from now into the future. So someone is going to complete what I started today in your various group meetings, right? And you will see that, and you will see expression to word of wisdom. So Jesus demonstrated in that. Look at Luke 8. Luke 8, 41, quickly. Look at verse 29. Return to thy own house and show how great the things God had done unto thee. And he went his own way and published throughout the whole city how great the things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years. You see, look 8. So there's a woman that had an issue of blood. Is an issue of blood a normal thing? You know, some of us, we don't even know the woman's name. We just call her woman, her son name, issue of blood. Right? In the real sense, but can God heal any kind of sickness? What was the woman's mindset? Now, he says, and the woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians. Do you know what that means? You are using your money to take care of your health. Dear saints, God can heal. Now we're together, right? And he came behind him and touched the border of his garment. right? And immediately the issue of the blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? So it means there are two ways in which people can receive healing. People can decide to touch you, and you can decide to touch another. What am I telling you through the scripture? You know, there was one. If you go back to all the way into the scripture, you see, so you see examples of people who will meet Jesus, and Jesus will say, go home, your servant is healed. You see some Bible say Jesus will lay hands on some. You see some Jesus will mix spit and sand. Is that not true? I'll get people healed. You see, what is the most important thing?
That people are healed.
We have those that will touch Jesus, and we have those that Jesus will touch. Now, let me ask you a question. Who determines how power flows? Who is the originator of power?
God.
Who is the giver of power?
God.
Who is the giver of the abilities of the Spirit?
God.
Who determines how the Spirit of God will flow?
Man.
It's you. You know, you can look at somebody and say, be healed. And you don't touch the person, just say one hand, be healed. And that's the end, and the person is healed. You can as well look at somebody and touch the person with one hand and say, be healed. You can look at somebody and touch the person on the shoulder and say, be healed. You can as well look at somebody and press the person's head and say, be healed. You see, there's every tendency for people to overlook some supernatural things because of some experiences they've had. Look at, can a man do like this for you? And you fall down, and you stand up, you are healed.
Mm-hmm.
Can a man remove his shirt, his jacket, or his suit, and say, take it, and you are healed? You have to now. That's when it comes to the first. Do you know why when he says, take it, you will be healed? It's because he's the one that controls how that power will flow.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody, you have issue of blood, somebody throws, you say, dodge it. So they are extreme. Now shown in scriptures. Yeah, we have an example in the Bible where people fell under their anointing in the front of Jesus. As shown in the Bible, the book of John. All together. Yeah. So is there anything wrong with people falling? Nothing is wrong. But the problem is when you think if you don't fall, nothing happens to you. That's the problem. So people, they feel like my meeting was for me. Why? Because they fear. So a lot of people think the meeting was not for them because they didn't feel. And meanwhile, there are things that happen when the word of God is taught. People receive healing when the truth of God. The first time I got healed, someone got healed of fibroid in my meeting was when I was teaching. I didn't even identify my word of knowledge, nothing. I was just teaching. The person just got healed for fibroid. First time. I've had a lot of times when I've laid hands on people and it happened. So it can happen. You don't determine how God gets people healed. Right? Jesus mixed spit and sand. Did the man, he see, I be, he not see. He can see. He said, Deafy. Is the deafy with your phone and your tongues that has made you remain the way you are. And that is why honor is too important when you want to receive from another. Yeah, please note this down. Honor is too important when you want to receive from another. You don't see a saint casually once it's time to receive. Don't see a saint casually. You that I know. You can't determine who God will use for you to a very large extent. Yeah? You're not the one that will always determine who God will use for you. So, honor is too important. So, today you're going to in honor with honor, receive another saint. Yeah? You look at somebody, and despite who the person is to you, no matter who the person has been to you, you'll say, I receive in honor. I receive all that God. I receive all that God wants to give me through this person. Why? Because man is God's best method on the earth. Are we together? Can I pray on handkerchief and send to somebody and the person gets healed? Yes, I've done it severally. Right? I can. It doesn't have to be the handkerchief. Handkerchief doesn't even have to be clean. Yeah? But because I am I'm the house of power, I've eaten the bread of power. So it means power resides here because bread resides here. So I can decide to allow power to flow. You know, when you have a full loaf of bread, you know that I can decide how you want to eat it. Some of you, when you have, you know those bread that is not sliced. Some of you, the way you used to eat it is like as if they are criminals. And you put your hand in the middle of the bread and eat it, and they are throwing your mouth. Yeah? Why some of you, what do? You use knife. You bought the bread with your own. Nobody should accuse you that you're a criminal or anything. You bought the bread with your money. You don't borrow it. And now you want to eat the bread, you eat it. Right? But what I'm trying to say is you that determines how you. Eh? If you want to eat pasta with your hand, you're laughing. It's you. Can I borrow it from you? I determine I wanted to. What is the goal? Get to my stomach. Are we together? If you want to use chopstick for semo, it's up to you. Right? So, it's same thing with the power of God. Let's always think about it that way. Right? It's up to me. So, when you now want to give expression to tongues for wisdom and interpretation, it's up to you to use your words.
Hallelujah.
It's up to you to use your words. Right? So today you're going to be saying the same thing. So sometimes you'll be in the meeting now, and you know when you came here, you didn't have a pain at your back. Right? What was that? Can you say, is anybody here with a back pain? Right? I sense strongly, right, that God's power is at work with me. Right? And God's power is available to get rid of back pain. Yeah? You identify, fine. If you have a friend, yeah, you can stand in the gap for people. Praise God. Praise God. You know, aprons were used to heal people in the Bible as well. Yeah, you know, a believer can pray with you, right, on inside vegetable oil. And you get that oil to heal somebody and raise them. Where the problem is when you think God is the bottle. Or the oil is God. Yet, the oil is just a vessel in which you can use to communicate and transmit God's power. Can God's power be transmitted? Oh, yes. God's power can be transmitted. God's power can be transmitted. So you can decide to say, I command every pain in your body to get out now in the name of Jesus. You can decide to say, out! Can I just say, I cause every pain, I cause every symptom of this from the root. Your choice of words, you are communicating power. Are we together? You are communicating power. Right? You might want to flow in tongues and interpretation. Right? And you can actually just say to someone, God's peace is your peace. Right? You can actually just say to somebody and say that, oh, God is actually, you can actually reassure someone that God is ever with you, your ever abiding spirit, and the ever abiding spirit of God is with you. Your Father dwells in you. Your Father dwells in you. Rely more on the Father. So look, let me give you two examples. I can give you tongues and interpretation now, and give you the interpretation in two ways. Right? So I can speak in tongues now, and the outcome of my speaking in tongues is rely more on God on that journey that you're about to take. That's it. That's it, though. Yeah? But look at this. Right? And as you transcend, as you translate yourself from point A, as you, it's not because the Spirit is less in me, it's because I'm the one using my words to communicate it. Look at this. That I'm fluent in tongues and interpretation doesn't mean that you are not fluent doesn't mean you are not saying God's word. Fluency doesn't always determine what God. So people are fluent in nonsense. Yeah? So how does your tongue get loose when it comes to tongues and interpretation? Is by saying, so you can say, oh, and as you translate or as you move from point A to point B, now do well to know that God has assured that you that He's going to be with you all the way through. And don't want to pay attention to the love of God in your heart, right? Because He has assured you from the pages of His word that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Try to rely on His love, His everlasting love. And His love is His guide that will bring you right into the very end. What did I just say? Rely on God. Simple. What have I done? I've used different words to communicate it. So when you see me do tongue interpretation, I'm painting a scenario for you. Eh? It's just so that you can get the message quicker. Just so that you can get the message quickly. Just so that you can understand what exactly is God doing. You can understand what exactly is God saying. So that you will not miss it. So, can you say what God is saying severally with different words? Yes, now. That you are saying it severally with different words doesn't mean that what God is saying is not the truth or is not clear. It is that man will over time get better in communicating God's thoughts, God's word, God's voice. Right? So what do? You give your attention, you give yourself, you give your all, you give your heart. You remain consistent in these things. Right? You keep speaking it, you keep saying it. Right? Look at Acts 2. Go back to Acts 2. Let's go back to Acts 2.
Look at Acts 2 verse 1. Hallelujah. Acts 2 verse 1. So look at Acts 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Let me ask you a question. Was there breeze blowing outside? Was there breeze blowing outside? No, no, look at it carefully. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a what? Rushing mighty wind. Do you remember when I talked to you about this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased?
Yeah.
Do you remember the go back to John. Luke 3:21.
Hallelujah. Over a seat upon the gin gosh, God of us,
Luke 3:21. Don't forget you're in Acts 2. Luke 3:21. Are you there? Now when the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, and what? Jesus was what?
Praying.
Are you here?
Yes, sir.
What was Jesus doing?
Praying.
He was praying. So was Jesus talking?
Yes.
Lovely. So Jesus being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. What is the heaven? The sky. When you say the heaven open, is it the sky that opened?
No.
It has to be something happened from the supernatural world. Are we together? Now look at verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like a what?
Dove.
The Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a what?
Dove.
Is the Holy Spirit dove?
No.
Amen.
Amen.
You know some people, they use dove as their logo to represent the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit dove?
No.
No. So people, when they are praying and they see dove fly by their head, they say, that answer to my prayer. You better continue praying. Right? So, he says, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove. So, did John see dove? Was there any dove in the picture?
No,
no dove in the picture. And a voice came from heaven. Where is the heaven? The heaven that opened in verse 21. Right? Right? And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art beloved, thou my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. Right? So what would the heaven be? Would the heaven be the sky or from another man?
Another man.
Another man. Why? Because a man now becomes where heaven and earth meets. So where did John hear this is my beloved son from? The lips of a man, which would probably be the lips of Jesus, who was what? Praying. Yeah, go back to Acts 2. Let me show you something now. Acts 2, 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. That sound that came from heaven, is that similar to the heaven that opened in Luke 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Beautiful, right? Right? And the sound came from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind and the field of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and he sat upon each of them. And they were what? Filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Ghost? To be filled with the Holy Ghost means that what? They began to do something. So there are two. Have you heard about people teach about the spirit upon and the spirit within? What is spirit within? When you become born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. What is spirit upon? When the spirit from within is put upon and we see an action. Did you get that? There is spirit within. When you believe the gospel, the Spirit of God comes into you. Right? When the Spirit upon is, you will act on it. So today, you're going to act on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So to be the Spirit upon is something as being filled with the Spirit. That's why it says, they were filled with the Spirit, that is, they began to speak. Are we together? So it means today, we will say, get filled with the Spirit. And what do? You give yourself to rejoicing. You give yourself to God's power. You give yourself to, you give yourself to voices, to utterances. Are we together? Are you ready? Are you ready? Go to Ephesians quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. So today, you will see in the Spirit, yeah? You will see from behind. You will see into the future. You will tell people. Now, when you get to give people word of knowledge, don't stop there. There's always something God wants to say. Are we together? Right? It doesn't profit me to tell you all the details about your life. I don't tell you what God wants to say after that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you start with word of knowledge, what happens? You make sure you end with an instruction, an admonition, an encouragement, an exhortation. Right? You know, in your groups, you would have psalms today. Yeah, you would have psalms by the Spirit. Don't forget, psalms by the Spirit will not be the tune. Psalms by the Spirit will not be how it sounds. Psalms by the Spirit will just be lyrics. And you will give yourself to lyrics in your group, and you will teach your group the lyrics. And what happens? You will give expression to joy. You give yourself expression to rejoicing. Right? So, now, in this meeting today, right, when somebody speaks to you, when God speaks to you through the lips of anyone, right, when it's a point for you to note, what do? You write it down. Amen? Yeah? So, have a writing materials with you. You write it down. You take note of it. Right? Because more often than not, when we leave this environment, you probably not remember again. There are some people who are saints. There are some of us. There are lots of things God has asked you to do from meetings like this, but you never do them. Why? Because after the meeting, you are remembering. Interesting thing is, especially that I even said it, when you meet the person after church, you might not remember. Mm-hmm. Are we together? You see, make use of moments. Don't play with moments. You're not here to joke. We're not here to play. Right? Take notes of those things. Write it down. When you have a psalm, write it down. Right, you teach your group your psalms. You rejoice. Yeah. So if God gives you a certain word, what do? You say glory. You rejoice. You say glory. Hallelujah. What happened? You come back again together. Yeah. Then what happens again? Another person says, oh, there's somebody with this and that, and God says that this will happen to that person, and this person should do this and do that. Eh? And stay away from this and that. Yeah. What do you do? Write it down. This person should do this, do that. Stay away. Then God says, Don't be nodding your head. No, it's not time to nod your head. You will not remember all. I was together. Look at Ephesians 1 while we close today. Some of you are smiling. And you think that is not figurative. Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah? So look at it. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of the faith in Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Yeah? The Father of what? Glory. Don't forget, what's the Spirit supposed to reveal? The glory of the Father, or the glory of Jesus. Remember that now. We started that 2 hours ago or 3 hours ago. Right? The Father of glory may give unto you the what? The Spirit of wisdom. Now, what Spirit of wisdom? Now, don't think that after you receive the Spirit of God, there's another Spirit that God will now give you, a Spirit of wisdom. So now you receive the Spirit of God. God will now say, you need to pray so that there's another Spirit called Spirit of wisdom. No, the Spirit of wisdom there is the wisdom of the Spirit you've received in verse 13 and 14. Look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. The gospel, the word of truth. Is it word of truth that is not a lie? Yeah, word of reality, the reality, right? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the what? The Holy Spirit. So verse 17 now says, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit. What is wisdom of the Spirit? That is to say, the revelation in the knowledge. That's word and. See that word there, and is the word that is kai. I mean to say that is. You know 2 Corinthians 13? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit. The word and in the Greek is the word ki. Or kai, depending on where you're from. Right? And in the real sense, that word just means that is to say. Which is to say. So, some of us grew up thinking that it is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, one. You park another one, the love of God. You pour it to your cup, two. And the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You put them together and you pour it, then jump off, so I just care more. Right? No, it is the grace of God, I mean to say the love of God, that is to say the giving of the Spirit. Right? So it is further to explain. So how do you explain the grace of God? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? The love of God. How do you explain the love of God? The giving of the Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit, the koinonia of the Spirit. Yeah? So that same thing that is used here. So it says, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom, that is the wisdom of the Spirit, that is to say, revelation. So revelation is wisdom. Are you here? Are you here? Revelation of His Spirit, or in the knowledge of Him, rather. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his what? Working of his mighty power, which he wrought in where? in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in where? In the heaven. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and everything that is named not only in this world but in that which is come. And they have put all things under his feet and given to the head of head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now look at verse 19 carefully. That you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word. So where was the demonstration of the exceeding greatness of God's power to? The believer. Where is it now? In the believer. So it means the believer is powerful. Are we together? It means the believer is powerful. Say I'm powerful. Say I'm full of power. Say I'm full of power. Can I rise up to